The deals you'll find when you shop on Amazon.com are indescribably delicious. Mwah. Support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy whose name is just Bro with the letters rearranged, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. And I am Rob Sesternino, and we are very excited to have you here today. I know that you have a lot of things that you could potentially be listening to, but yet you are choosing to listen to me continue to talk about Survivor here on Rob Has a Podcast. So good to have you on board. Got a great show here today for you. One of my favorite people ever to have on the podcast, Jonathan Penner, will join us in just a little bit to talk about everything that's going on this episode. And of course, Jonathan Penner played with Malcolm when he was just a young pup in Survivor Philippines, and of course, also played with Eric Reichenbach on the original Survivor Fans versus Favorites. So we'll talk to Penner, and I'm sure he is going to have a lot to say, as always. In addition to this show that you're listening to now, we also did our Survivor Know-It-Alls show last night with Stephen Fishback and I going back and forth about the most recent episode. If you want to listen to that or see it, you can check that out at robhasawebsite.com. And if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. It'll take you right there and check out all of our Survivor Know-It-Alls from this season. And then this morning, I spoke with the man himself. I spoke with Malcolm, tried to ask him as many questions as I possibly could. I mean, I can't recall another exit interview that I've done where there just needed to be so many things that were asked. And I asked a bunch of them. After the fact, I realized that there was more things that I should have been asking. So really needed like at least a 45-minute exit interview with Malcolm. And usually that is not the case. Usually there's like, you know, one or two things that you need to ask. So just goes to show how many different controversies he was involved with over these last couple of weeks this season. So if you want to get some of those answers, you can check out my interview with Malcolm at robhasawebsite.com. And it's been a great couple of weeks here, not just for here us on the podcast, but actually for Survivor itself. I know that they were very proud over at CBS today that the ratings for Survivor last night were very strong. I'm reading this. This is a press release that CBS had put out that Survivor tied American Idol Wednesday in adults 25 to 54 for the first time ever in the common hour and finished in closest competitive position in viewers 18 to 49. So it was a big night that this is the closest ever that Survivor had been to American Idol in the shared time slot. It was also the highest audience of the season for Survivor Karamoan. So I think that speaks to two things. One, that Survivor is continuing to hang strong in there, and also American Idol is continuing its free fall. So the takeaway there is all good things for us Survivor fans there, and not good things if you are an American Idol fan, because American Idol continues its drop this season as Survivor is at least maintaining its audience, which in the state of broadcast television in 2013 is doing a good job if you're keeping your audience and even getting a high note for the season. So great job to CBS and for Survivor for keeping it strong in season 26 and still going. All right, everybody, we are in for a treat today, or any time that we have this guy here with us on the podcast. He is a three-time Survivor player from Survivor Cook Islands, Survivor Original Fans versus Favorites, and Survivor Philippines. Please welcome the one and only Jonathan Penner.
Jonathan Penner, ladies and gentlemen, here back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle once again. Back in Pennercast 3, we're calling this.
Yippee! Winn-Dixie!
How you doing, buddy?
Great. Really good, man. Getting turned on by this season of Survivor. And I'm healthy. I'm happy. So I have no complaints. Happy to be talking to you.
Good. Well, happy to be talking to you, too. We've had a very exciting run of Survivor here over the last 4 weeks. Really, since the merge, it's been like a whole nother season. Everybody was complaining the whole first half. This is boring. I don't know. Why did they say this was good? But it has lived up to the billing the last couple of weeks.
I totally agree, man. I was disappointed, bummed out. I thought it was, you know, too much crazy Brandon and freaky Philip, but... and Shempi Shamar, but it is right now living up to its billing. Four fantastic episodes in a row, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, great episodes in a row. And last night, you know, it had been quite a ride here for your old buddy Malcolm, and now he finally goes out of the game here after it didn't work out with the amigos. He couldn't find the idol, and I just wanted to know, were you rooting for Malcolm this season, or were you happy to see this young upstart get his comeuppance here on Survivor?
I'm never happy to see anybody. Well, that's not true.
Yes, that's not true.
That is just not true. So let me concentrate. Was I happy? No, I'm not rooting against Malcolm. You know, I love Malcolm. He and I had a lot of fun together. He played a hell of a game when he played with me. I'm not quite sure what happened. We can talk about that. Why he did or did not succeed, you know, out there this time. But I certainly wasn't voting against him. No, I think, you know, why he pulled what he pulled last week, I still don't know. Except he had an eye to the history books or something, you know, I mean, why he didn't hold on to his hidden immunity idol. I just don't know. Do you have any insight?
Well, I've talked to him a little bit this morning, and of course, for you guys listening to this, you could listen to my interview with Malcolm, but I asked him specifically about that. Why not hold on to the two immunity idols? And what he had said was that he felt like he could not win the game going that way. Yes, he could have maybe gotten to Final 7, Final 6, but for him to win the game, he needed to get the numbers on his side. So he never really considered that as an option. But that's what you would have done in that spot?
Well, I mean, maybe that makes sense, but why he didn't make a move, why he didn't show Sherry and Eric, let's say, the all three idols, or even his partners, the other two amigos. I mean, at least according to the edit, they were surprised as anyone when he pulled that thing out of his pocket. That may or may not be true.
Yeah, he did
know.
Say that they all knew what was going on, but they had found the idol so close to tribal council that they didn't really have a lot of time to come up with all the different permutations of what they could have done. So all those other guys did know what was going on.
Well, then, and it probably would have been. Yeah, you know, that's a tough one, right? If he really didn't have time to communicate with them and say to Eric and Sherry, or even another person on top of that, who would that have been? Andrea, somebody like that, say, guys, we have all three. None of us are going home. It's time to turn this game over on its head right now. By unleashing it in the tribal, you know, he sort of got halfway there. He had Eric vote with them, but all that did, yes, it got rid of Philip, which was great, but it wasn't enough to really turn the tide. So, you know, it's easy for me to Monday morning quarterback and say he needed to make a different, bigger move if he was going to play that idol at that time, pull that out of his pocket. He needed to use that as the game-changing pivot point. And ideally, you know, they were so strong in their alliance. And this has been the case week after week. You know how it is. They always edit so that the audience doesn't know who the hell's going home. And it's often very effective. But when you really count the votes and see how it comes down, 9 times out of 10, the votes are already set and people stick with the plan like they did last night, let's say. And only Eric deviated from the plan, had his head turned around enough to not vote the way they said they were going to vote. And that's what sent Philip home. You know, I think there was some hope that they could avoid having any of them voted for, that they could flip the game and everybody would vote off Philip, because if they could have turned two people to their side, or even three people, then they'd be in the majority and nobody would want to be on the outside of those numbers. I think that's what you saw last night when they had the revote and Eddie actually voted for Malcolm. You know, he wanted to be on the inside of whatever the new dynamic was going to be when they got back to camp.
Yeah, how pointless is that, though, Penner? I mean, that's got to annoy you, because it's such a transparent move that for Eddie that he votes with Malcolm on the first vote, and then on the revote, like, that's going to change anything. He's going to save his skin and then vote against Malcolm on the revote. Isn't that ridiculous?
Eddie can't win the game, so Eddie is scrambling. Eddie is, I'm not condoning what he did. Is it going to get him to last longer in the game? I don't know. But, you know, you can understand it. Is it transparent? Of course it is. The guy's hanging on by his fingernails. You know, doesn't matter what he does. So he's trying to say, I'm with you guys. See, I'm with you guys. He wants anything to point to that says, I'm ready to play ball with you guys if you're willing to play ball with me. Whereas Cochran was able to say, what was up with Eric voting against Philip last time? You know, It instantly puts Eric in a suspicious place. Is it effective? You know, Eddie can't win the game.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure. I mean, listen, Malcolm is going to put whatever spin he has to on it, on the story, and he's got his perspective. He's gone home, so clearly whatever moves he was trying to make did not work out for him. And if he had held on to his idol, I mean, let's play the numbers. If he'd held on to that idol and Eddie had gone home last week, let's say, he'd have sat there with an idol this week. He wouldn't have had to buy the advantage in the game. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have, but he'd still have an idol. He'd still be in the game now. And, you know, he wouldn't be seen as such a massive threat gamer kind of guy. He might have even have found another idol and get to stay in there even longer. You know, I don't know. To me, blowing that up just seemed like an incredibly dramatic, very fun, memorable, but ultimately futile, pointless move.
All right, Penner he's got all the facts here with all this. I'm ready. You came ready to go today.
Well, I do watch the show.
Yeah, very good. Now, does that speak, the way that you're describing that, does that speak to you more as a player or Malcolm more as a player? Like, do you think that the average survivor does what Malcolm does, or the average survivor does what you're describing?
I don't know what the difference is. What do you mean?
Like, are you saying that the idea, okay, I'm going to keep the idols for myself and I'm going to try to go at this and basically go at it alone, is that more your philosophy on Survivor, or is Malcolm's philosophy, which is basically, hey, I'm going to take this idols, I'm going to try to protect this group of people that I have for as long as I can keep it together, because that's the only way I can win the game. Because you were a guy that you know, the infamous, there was a mutiny, and you went off to one side. And even last season, you ended up, you were... At times, it was like you couldn't get the... Even though you wanted to work with Jeff Kent... it was a tough go of it for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. Let's see.
Question.
Certainly. No. Yeah, it's a mediocre question. No, it's a perfect question. Look, the you cannot win without proving your loyalty to a set group of people. He may have made his choice too late. Right? He was already on the outs with the favorites who have dominated the game. He was the low man on that totem pole. The group that he realigned himself, or seems to have realigned himself with, could not put him in a winning position. He would have needed to have pivoted using those three guys and anyone else who was still around from that group to pull some of the favorites or a favorite or two and Sherry over at that point, right, when we talked about last week, or even sooner for him to have an ice cube's chance in hell. He couldn't do it. That didn't happen. Maybe he thought that's the only chance that I have is if the three amigos can move forward. But I am of the school that says he knew he was not going to be able to win like that. And all you can do is hang in there for as long as possible and see if you can turn things over so that he could say to the favorites surviving this week, he wouldn't have gone home. Eddie would have gone home, I'm assuming, right? And he'd say, look, you dickheads, I've been loyal to you guys for as long as possible. You turned your backs on me, okay? I did not give Eddie this immunity idol that I could have. What is it going to take for you guys to see that I am worth playing with? I mean, what the hell's going on here? Okay? Mm-hmm. So you have to, right? That, I mean, that's the argument that I would make for whatever it would be worth. I have never betrayed any of you guys. Okay, I even let Philip stick around when I could have given Eddie this thing and sent Philip home. So now is the time for you guys to suck it up and take me and Reynolds and let's flip this game over and let's win this game. Because the best hope that I have is a final five, and I would like to do that with you, Sherry, you, Eric, and you, who else would it be? Andrea, I guess,
or Brenda, or one of those people,
or Miss, Brenda.
So maybe is this a more fair comparison? Let's compare Malcolm in this game to basically you in Survivor Philippines, where you guys were both always seemingly from a disadvantage in that you never were in the position where you had the numbers, really, to say. Maybe for a little bit in your game when you were working with Jeff Kent, but even still those guys were talking about, hey, we should, you know, should we get rid of Penner here before the merge? And I feel like Malcolm, too, was always playing this game from the rear position in this. He never truly was in the top of a majority alliance.
That you're absolutely right. He had a disadvantage for whatever reason. He stepped on that beach. I have no idea what pre-game alliances or conversations were had, but we all know that that happens because survivors know each other. There's no reason, you know, I mean, we're talking right now, okay? Some of these guys, Dawn and Cochran, had played together. I have to assume they'd had a conversation at some point, you know? So, or even if they hadn't, they get on the beach, and there's nine of them who know each other or know of each other, and this guy, who they have to assume probably didn't win in the Philippines but kicked ass and played a great game. That's why he was invited back. You know, he wasn't some under-the-radar milquetoast player. He was either incredibly competitive, incredibly deceitful. You know, he was playing a Russell Hance kind of game. That's why they brought him back. Or he just played a kick-ass physical game, which is, he did all those things, kind of, right? So, yeah, he was going to be the least trustworthy guy. And he, you know, has needed to, I assume, work his butt off to try to engender some kind of trust. And it didn't work. So he found himself behind the eight ball in a losing situation. So maybe that's why he said, you know what, at least I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory and pull some shit that's never been pulled on Survivor before. And make for great television. I don't know what his thinking really was, but certainly for a guy who went out as the third member of the jury, he made a tremendous impact on the game this time, didn't he? Or at least he had a lot of fun if he actually didn't impact the game at all, which I think when you line up the numbers, you'll see he actually didn't impact the game too much, except to get Philip blown out of the game, and it was time for him to go home anyway.
Now, when you played in the original Fans versus Favorites, you guys had a similar situation, correct? That you guys had not seen James and Amanda on TV, but yet they were in your tribe? Do I have those facts straight?
I don't know if you do. Do you?
Because what was it?
Was
that
China on? Was China on when we left?
I don't
Somebody
know the time.
Tells me that I'd seen them.
Okay.
Crap.
I don't know the timing.
I'm old. And I don't remember. Something tells me, you know, I think that we left while it was on the air.
Okay, so you had seen them a little bit, but you had not seen the full. And we had the same sort of thing on the first All-Stars, where we had seen about 5 or 6 weeks of Rupert before right. We were out there on the island with him. But so at least we knew who he was. Whereas
go ahead.
Whereas, you know, for a guy like Malcolm or like Russell Hance before him, here he is. You don't know him from anybody. He could be there could be a twist where he's not even a returning player. They're just telling you he is. And so you have know nothing about the guy.
Yeah, that's right. It obviously worked out to Russell's advantage to some degree, right? Because he made it to number two both times, I think. on the other hand, it worked out to his disadvantage that he didn't get to see how he was perceived the first time he played and make an adjustment. He thought he played a brilliant game. In fact, he went out there before the finale of his first season thinking he had won the first season, and so tried to play a duplicate game, which got him very, very far, of course, again, and also got him loathed and despised and, you know, did not put him in the winner's circle twice. And then when they brought him out a third time, he was so despised and untrusted, he couldn't adjust his game. He couldn't even play a straight-up game if he wanted to, because he got blown out of there. People threw a challenge to get him out of there. When James and Amanda, when I played with them, and I guess with you, when you played with Rupert, you know, this was back when Survivor had more space in between the two seasons. They were not repurposing the locations. Right. This was back in the days when they would actually go to two completely separate locations for the two seasons. And now they are, you know, Survivor Philippines was shot on the Caramoan Islands, and now Survivor Caramoan is being shot on the Caramoan Islands. You know, it's the same areas.
And also within a very short amount of time also, whereas when we both first played Survivor, they would shoot a season every 6 months, and now they shoot basically the two seasons over the course of 3 months in the same place also.
Right, and it's, you know, a brilliant way of amortizing their costs and keeping the costs lower, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody at home seems to mind, you know.
Yeah, some people mind, but they're, you know, those are often a lot of the times the people that complain about everything. You know, if it was up to me, you could build a Survivor stage and then just you know, play out the game every season in the same place. That's fine by me.
Yeah, because for all intents and purposes, it kind of is that, right?
Yeah. Make it, you know, like, let's just buy an island, have Survivor Island, and then have every season, and then it's like landmarks. Oh, hey, oh, there, that's where Ozzy did that thing. Oh, isn't that's the tree where Cochran, you know,
that's right,
whatever. I mean, you could have people come there, go sightseeing. You have a tourism factor. I'm gonna write the CBS on this idea.
You know this. I don't know if folks at home do, but you know, this area where we shot, where they've just shot Caramoan, is an area that has been shot by Survivor, different countries' survivors, right? And that there are, in fact, there is a company or two that shoots like Survivor Israel, Survivor Turkey, Survivor, you know, the English version. They'll shoot three or four versions of Survivor using the same sets. And they'll just sort of roll the cast through the challenge sets so that they really repurpose the location.
No, I did not know any of this.
They include shoot all this stuff.
Yeah, well, that's pretty wild. Got the inside scoop from Penner.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but, I mean, when they were shooting, they only shot the American version, you know, they shot that alone. But apparently that is how they do it, and they've done that on the, you know, there in the Caramoans.
Okay, well, that's pretty wild. You talked a little bit about Philip this season, and I don't know if we've ever gotten to talk to you about your take on Philip as a player, but I'd love to hear your thoughts here for a minute or two on your thoughts on the specialist, Mr. Penner.
Well, I'm not crazy about him. I've met him. Actually, I haven't met him. I've sort of seen him at a party, sort of skulking about, sort of waiting to be recognized or something. Fair enough. You know, he did not impress me the first time he played. I felt like, you know, Boston Rob smartly tucked him under his arm, or better yet, sort of put a strap through his back and carried him forward like a shield and used him. And then he learned whatever lessons he felt he learned from Boston Rob and tried to bring those to the game that we all watched. But I don't think he was taken seriously by anybody. I have no idea what he's like when the cameras are off. I have no idea what he would really be like on his own, playing his own game. But I imagine he's not much of a gamer. He comes across like a deluded boob to me. But I'm sure I'll meet him and have a beer with him at some point, and hopefully he'll be a charming, personable, very bright guy. I just don't see it.
Have you ever played with anybody that was like Philip? Is there any comparison?
Well, he had the, you you know, everyone else had the great misfortune of having him go to the final three and believe that it was, you know, that he played a great game, you know, and it would be like, sitting down with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and having the dummy tell you that he's the guy in the act, you know?
Wow.
I guess I'm dating myself with that reference. It would be like Kermit the Frog and Jim Henson, you know, and Kermit somehow coming to life and saying, like, yeah, I'm the brains in the outfit, you know?
I am the brains here in the outfit. I am following the
now that's
J.H.
A good imitation
rules.
Right there.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
I thank you. Which, folks, that hadn't been planned. I didn't know he could do Kermit.
Yeah.
So well. You know, so Philip is here's to me, the biggest problem with the season was that so much time and attention was spent on that first half with these three rather crazy guys. It's not interesting to me personally. You know, it's like, of course, we can watch Honey Boo Boo, which is a fun show. And, you know, you can take 5 minutes of it at a time. But I don't really want to watch a season of Survivor, the deluded or the yokel or the incredibly angry Iraqi war vet version of Survivor. That's not that interesting to me. I think that the show itself is I can't say better than that. I don't mean to be like that. I mean that the regular run of the mill Jills and Joes that are on Survivor, ourselves included, the dynamic and the social game of the construct of Survivor is so great that you don't need to have such wild card crazy people on there to make for good TV. If anything, it becomes rather boring to me.
Yeah, I mean, not to turn this into a referendum on Philip, but I agree with you on Shamar, because I think that what he was doing was not in any way, shape, or form, even in his head, strategic. What he was doing was not strategic, and he didn't believe it was strategic. He was just kind of being a jerk out there while he was out there. But I will say, to Philip's credit, whatever he's doing, it's either A for... I think he feels like, hey, I'm being good television. Like, I think that there's some sort of, it's somewhat calculated what he's doing. And he also believes that it's good strategy. Now, it may not be your cup of tea, and the editors may go to the well way too much on what he's doing, which is probably more contrived than a lot of people care to see on Survivor. But I do feel like there is some, you know, he's thinking about what he's doing, as opposed to Shamar is just like, ah!
Well, okay, but even that, I mean, has the show, and I certainly have brought some hella knowledge to the show. I mean, I was shocked and very appreciative, not because it was so smart, just because it's something that I really said. I mean, me and Lisa had a very long and relatively intelligent conversation about the editing of Survivor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how it is edited as a story. I did not say that for the cameras, you know. I said it because that was the conversation.
Right.
That's what I felt I needed to say to her to try to get her onto my side. But the idea that there are folks out there who are doing calculated things because they think it's going to make good television,
mm-hmm.
I guess is smart and makes complete sense, of course, but... Then it starts to get very fuzzy for me. And as I say, I find the brilliance of Survivor, honestly, the brilliance of it, is that the stakes are so high and the stress levels are so high that you can put relatively average Joes and Jills out there and watch them behave, you know, and you don't need to put deluded nutballs out there for the fun of it, you know, so that we can watch crazy people acting crazy. But that's maybe it's just my taste. But obviously I'm not alone,
no.
As you say, in complaining about the first half of this season.
Well, I think it's an interesting offshoot of your conversation, your famous storyteller conversation about who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, who are the characters. And in Philip's case, he came into the season or into his Survivor playing career and said, I'm writing the story and I'm playing this character of the specialist. Now, you can get into was it good writing and was it a good character? But I think that's what his plan was, and I think that whereas a lot of people got taken aback because they said, "Hey, I don't want to watch reality TV or quote unquote reality TV to see somebody play a character," and I think that's why a lot of people got so annoyed with Philip this season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, now I'll reverse myself completely, okay, and say if what you just said was true, then while I found it nauseating and unappealing, I can at least appreciate it in a meta level because we all know deluded people in reality, mm-hmm. right, in our lives. I mean, so having somebody out there who thinks he's playing this slick, savvy game and is actually just a boob, okay, that's almost realer than real. I mean, now my mind is spinning, okay? Unfortunately, I didn't really like watching him play. I thought he was a boob, that's all.
Yeah.
Does it work on a super meta level? Maybe. I mean, I don't know how you felt about this, but I came home and I had this conversation more than once, and I'll share it with you, which is when people would say to me, like, you know, was it really hard on Survivor? And yeah, sure, it's hard physically, it's hard, but it's also a lot of fun. You know, it's like super intense camping. So that part of it I always loved. And I always said the hardest part about Survivor for me was assholes. You know, I'm a guy who has, and most of us as adults who, you know, have families or not, who try to make a living, whatever, we have been able to weed, and I'll mix my metaphors, we've been able to weed the assholes out of our lives for the most part.
Right.
You know, we don't have to deal with assholes. Maybe we've got a boss that's a jerk, or maybe we've got an employee that we can't get rid of that's a jerk, but for the most
part, or a relative.
Honestly, well, yeah, but even a relative, you know, it's like, okay, you talk to that person as little as possible. You know, you can't choose your relatives. Right? You can't choose your relatives, but you do choose the people that are not your relatives that you would surround yourself with. And on Survivor, you put yourself in a position where you were with people that you would never want to spend time with on your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. You know, these are folks that you would hope to be able to, like, pay the cashier and get the hell out of the supermarket before you start swinging fists around. And that's where it gets the hardest. And of course, you know, I was probably more annoying to most of those folks than they even were to me. You know, I mean, it cuts all ways. And as the tension and the stakes get higher and higher, it gets harder and harder. And if I learned anything from Survivor, tell me what your experience was. It was to let that go and to accept these people as they are, that they are not that way in spite of me or because of me. You know, and to simply allow them to do their thing and to enjoy them as they are and have as much fun with them as I possibly could.
And don't think there's not some chemistry in action, too, where the people who cast the show know that this is the last person on Earth that you want to be around. And that's exactly why you're with them also. And it's all part of, you know, this big chemistry experiment that they're doing of putting all these people together and seeing, hoping that eventually it explodes.
Right, so that's why you put a Philip out there, you know, because somebody like Malcolm might even shoot himself in the foot just to get this guy off of the island.
Yeah.
You know, I will give up my immunity.
Two immunities.
At least 3 days early, just so that I don't have to look at this guy again. Of course, now they have to be in Ponderosa together, really looking at each other. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, and they could use Penner to show up to make some drinks there and lighten the mood a little bit.
Oh, you heard about that. Yes,
I saw the videos that you saved Ponderosa last season.
That's funny. Well, I'm nothing if not fun-loving. And, you know, you're there in Ponderosa. It's a beautiful location. There's nothing you can do but eat, drink, and be merry. And so I tried to do all those things, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've spent a lot of time on Philip. Let's talk about some people that are actually still in the game. And let's talk about Eric. And there's been a little bit of a divide here between the listeners and myself and some people who feel like Eric is actually doing a very good job. And Eric is actually without a clue. And we're trying to fill in the blanks where there's not a lot of strategy in trying to imply that there maybe is some underlying strategy that we're not seeing. So you never got to be on a tribe with Eric, correct?
Correct. I never really met Eric.
But
I called him the running man because he came out there with these with these running shorts. and I called, what's his name, whose name I never remember, even though I played with him, the Squirrel Boy.
Jason?
Jason, yeah, Squirrely Boy. anyway, Eric, well, here's what I'll say as an experienced viewer of the game. If he was playing a game that was really strategic and had any real clue, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but I'm talking about any real clue, then there'd be some more confessionals of his. You know what I mean? I mean, if he was really in it to win it and was making moves, even incredibly subtle moves that were just like Cochran is playing a brilliant game and you know, making no bigger moves ostensibly than Eric is, there's a lot more of Cochran. Now, Cochran, of course, is a really funny, really smart guy and a real student of the game, but where's Eric's conversation? Why aren't I getting some kind of insight into his head if he actually has that insight on his own? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because he would be sharing it with the cameras, and they would be sharing it with us if it had some real relevance. So he may think that he's making great moves or something. You know, he may actually be a swing vote or a deciding vote and all the stuff that he's talking about in the few confessionals that he had, and 90% of them seem to have been last week. But I just don't see it. I just don't see that he actually is in any kind of control, except he just is playing an incredibly quiet game, maybe similar to Carter's game, you know.
Well, we had this exact debate last night where that I, with Stephen Fishback and I, we do a recap of the show live after the episode, and we were debating, right. And Stephen said that he felt like Eric's game this season was closer to Malcolm's game. And I said, no way, Jose. You better believe that Eric's game is much more like, if you're looking for somebody from the Philippines, like Carter. And I am very happy to hear you say that Eric is playing a Carter-like game.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I'm sorry, I did not hear the conversation last night. But and I had not thought until we're having this conversation now of that Carter analogy, but I certainly don't see him playing a Malcolm-like game. He's just not that kind of strategic player. You know, whatever the motivation for the casting of this show, it was not the motivation that got, the motivation for casting everybody except Malcolm was not the motivation that cast Malcolm, right? You know, they cast Eric because he went far but made one of the most hideous moves in the history of Survivor, you know? So if it was fans versus favorites, it was probably going to be fans versus fuck-ups, or fans versus fools, or fans versus, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? There was something right. in there. You know, they weren't casting the most dynamic, physical, you know, the Terry Deets isn't out there. You know, Hagaboom, some of these guys, I'm dating myself, where's James's game again? Where are some of these guys? They weren't casting those guys. They were casting Crazy Philip, Brandon Hance, Cochran, and Eric, you know,
Francesca,
famous
right.
only for being an ice cream scooping fool, essentially. So there was some other motivation, and it wasn't based on his dynamic strategic skills, I guarantee.
Yeah. You mentioned James, in fairness, he did get voted out with two idols in his season, so he would have been right at home with these guys.
Well, you know what? He was not asked to play again. I don't no. know why. Maybe he was asked. I don't
well,
know.
He would have been. This
but you're
been...
right. He made a terrible, terrible, terrible move.
And everybody here.
Why isn't James back on the show? He's literally my favorite.
Why is James such a favorite of yours?
Because he's smart. He's funny as hell. Physically dominant. And you know what? One of the few people that I really just loved hanging out with out on the island. A great guy.
Okay. Let me ask you my theory about Eric, and you tell me if you buy into this or not. So Eric, I think, got burned so badly the first time that he played that it's almost like the hot stove with Eric, in that he doesn't want to play any sort of strategic game this time because he got manipulated so badly the first time. He's afraid to go back to the strategy well. So his strategy this season is a no strategy strategy. And I'm not going to trust anybody. And I'm just going to, okay, tell at the last second, you tell me what's going on and I'll pick what I want to do.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe that's the strategy that he's playing. That makes complete sense and would certainly line up with what I've been seeing. Maybe he thinks like that was ostensibly the Sandra winning strategy, right? But I just don't believe that he has the strategic sense that Sandra had, you know. And at a certain point, and that point is coming now, mm-hmm. right, within the next vote or two, you know, the winner of this game is going to make their move, flip this around in some way. You know, this group of favorites cannot all march to the end together, and he's going to be on the bottom of that flip, unless he's going to make that move. And as I say, there's no indication that he has the, I don't know, not smarts. Maybe it's because you know, he's so worried about having gotten burned, he ain't going to make the move. I mean, I did the same thing last season. I made the mistake of not making the move. I waited one vote too long. And got complacent, you know,
mm-hmm.
stupidly, because I worked so hard to get myself into a position where I actually could maybe make a move. And then I said, no, what I did finally worked. So now I'm in a better position. I don't have to make a move. There's a lot to that story, too. But I just don't see him being the one who's going to make the big strategic move.
Right.
Well, let's talk about it. What's he going to do? He's now got Eddie and Reynolds, whom he's voted with at least once, right, with Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, okay, the two of you and me, Sherry and who?
Who? Nobody. Brenda? It's down to, it's eight Andrea? People. You can't swing it at eight. Your chance to swing it is on the odd number. So maybe he votes, you know, even, I think that ship has sailed. I don't think that there's any way to get something going, unless there's a falling out between Brenda. I'm putting Brenda with Cochran and Dawn and Andrea because she would be no better to go with those guys than to stick with them. There's no better opportunity now.
Well, if he can swing Eric, he's got to swing three people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and Reynolds and Eddie, he's got. And he's got to swing two of the favorites with him. And you're absolutely right. It's like, why the hell would they do that?
Yeah, I think the ship is sailed. I think his best chance now is vote off Eddie, vote off Reynolds, and now that'll take us down. So now there's six people and hope that maybe, you know, Dawn and Cochran see him as the third, or Andrea and Brenda, or, you know, Andrea and Dawn see him as a third, and maybe he can get into a three-person deal when they get down to five, if he's still in the game at that point. Maybe they vote off Sherry at six, and then he could be the swing vote at five if he's still in the game. That's the only thing that he could be doing at this point.
Well, unless he's got some kind of, and, you know, honestly, I find Eric a bore. We can talk about him for as long as you want, but
not if you put it that way.
Nothing for me, and he ain't going to win this game. You know?
I guess so. We're just wasting.
That's just fact.
All right, we won't waste.
Right now, you tell me what you see, but I see Cochran, I see Dawn, I see maybe Andrea.
No, she's
or,
been good.
You know, if somehow at a left freaking field, Reynolds or Eddie can pull something off because they've gotten a bunch of screen time, and I'm just talking that based on the edit. I'm talking about who the editors have told us, you know, there's somebody out here that you can really be pulling for. It ain't Eric. There's no way. It ain't Sherry. I don't see that. It ain't Brenda, who has been a mute until just this past episode. There's somebody else that I'm missing.
Not Sherry?
It ain't Sherry. It ain't Eric.
Yeah.
It ain't Brenda. You know, it could be Andrea, it could be Dawn, it could be Cochran, or it could be, amazingly, it could be one of the two fans, how they would pull that off if they can convince whomever, take me to the final three guys, because there's no way I can win. They may have actually curried enough favor with who's on the jury, or not pissed off people enough who's on the jury to make a strong argument for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know. Are you seeing something else?
No, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. Let me just go one last thing on Eric before we move on. Could you say that Eric is trying to play like an Aussie game of the in your original season, where if he feels like, okay, if I can get rid of Reynolds, if I can get rid of Eddie, now other than Cochran, who's going to beat me in these immunity challenges? And I can maybe run the table and win the last three or four immunity challenges and get to the final three that way, as long as I don't give away my immunity.
I don't buy him.
Okay. All right.
I don't buy it because he's not Ozzy.
But is that what he's thinking?
Well, I don't know. There's no indication he is thinking. Oh, I mean, he must be thinking. His legs move, you know. But you know, they're not putting that across to the TV audience that he's thinking about anything. I have no sense of his personality at all. You know the sense of the personality that I get, and they're doing him a favor by doing this, and he did himself a favor, was by the painting of the flag that he did. That's the only sense of who this guy is that I'm getting from this TV series, personally, you know? The thing about him running the table, sure, it's possible, but it's not probable, because as the challenges go further and further, they even out in the way that they're structured, so that anybody could win. You know, what next week, according to next week on Survivor, it's an endurance kind of balance thing, which Brenda could win, which Dawn could win, anybody could win that. You know, Scoopin' won the stupidest, put me on record, the stupidest immunity challenge in the history of Survivor.
Which one?
Was a goofy carnival game with a paddle where you had to roll balls on the end of the paddle. I think he won it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. He's a genius at stupid carnival games. You know, anybody could have won that game. So the idea that Eric, as a physical dominant force, is going to somehow, in his mind, I'm now going to run the table. I've got this game right in the palm of my hand. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to wish that upon him. I have no doubt, though, that at some point you'll get a chance to ask him yourself.
Okay. Now, we've only got so much time with you tonight, so I'm going to segue into some of the questions from the listeners, because they're going to take us off into a bunch of different tangents. I know we could easily do a 10-hour podcast, but let me start with Uyanga B, who has a question for you, Penner, that says, do you have what is called an auction curse? The two times you were voted off was the auction episode. Interesting. So, Penner, are you afraid of auctions now?
Definitely cursed by the auction.
Well, let's talk about
no, I love the auction, yeah. And I kicked ass in both auctions, except I did not buy the advantage that I had no idea was coming, you know. I've never seen one of those, but that's my own stupidity. Other than that, I always did great in the auctions, man. I had beers and pizzas and fried chickens and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Was it bad luck that I got voted out after the auction every time? Yes.
All right. Well, the auction loomed very large in the episode last night, and
it was awesome. What a great auction.
It's a great auction.
I loved it.
Now, I thought Malcolm, this is inexcusable for Malcolm, because I have on authority, he saw Survivor Philippines. So he saw Abby Maria get the advantage in the challenge. And in his world, this happened, 6 weeks ago from when he's playing the game? So for him to get there, and Jeff Probst says, okay, I got some peanuts and a beer. Who wants it? 20, for him to bid on anything besides what will help. Now, he got lucky, because nobody outbid him. Nobody said, hey, 500 for the clue for the hidden immunity idol. So he got lucky.
Right.
But what is he thinking?
He wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
He was drinking.
Yeah.
Malcolm, and I love Malcolm. He loves his beer, pal. He loves to drink. You know, who doesn't? I wish I had a drink right now. You're driving me to drink. He said, you know, it was like, first person for $20. You know, and you're right. He was lucky. So he wasn't thinking at all, and he had his beer's fabulous. Then he won that, and it was not an advantage, right? He said it's information in the game, which he assumed would be smart to get, and he was right, and why he could not put that together, God only knows. And why he didn't just dig his ass off that night, you know, he had a night to dig.
Yeah.
Spend the night looking around, you know, I don't know. It's bad luck. It was good luck for him, but bad luck for him. Terrible. Maybe when people saw him jumping on that advantage, you know, they realized this dude's got to go. You know, I mean, how many idols are we going to let him get? We've got to get rid of him, because if anybody could run the table, if anybody could flip this thing around, it's him. You know.
So you were in a similar situation last season where you knew where the idol, or you had a clue to the idol, but you were sort of like hiding or sneaking around trying to look for, because you didn't want the other people to know you were looking for the idol. Now, Malcolm was in a somewhat similar situation where he knew where the idol was, but everybody knew he was looking for the idol. If you were in that same position, like hypothetically, had your team lost a immunity challenge early on and you knew you were on the block, would you have cared if anybody was looking at you while you were searching for the idol?
I always told them I was searching for the idol. You know, I said, guys, look for the idol. What is wrong with you? There's an idol on this beach. Somebody is going to find it, and it's power in the game. You bet your ass I'm looking for it, and if you're not looking for it, you're fools, is what I said to them every day. Well, it took me a couple of days to find it, but I really put my brains to it, what little there are, figured out finally where the clue might have been, you know, and once I found the clue, where I actually thought the idol might be where the clue was, once I found that clue, you know, it took me another day or two to find it. Yeah, I'm sure they were like, what the hell is he doing? He's searching all over for this thing. But they had nobody to blame but themselves for not searching or for hounding my ass until they found it first, you know. Would I have done it differently if I'd known they were watching me the whole time? No. Because they're not all going to be watching me. You know, if they're all in one place, then you go to the other place. I'm going to use the bathroom now. And there was no reason why Malcolm couldn't have tried to pull Andrea in. Okay, here's the clue. Let's look together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Interesting. I was surprised. And it seemed like they had a good relationship. Like, I thought he would have tried to talk game with her a little bit. And maybe he did, and they cut it out. But it didn't seem like that's what happened.
Yeah, look, he may have just known his damn goose was cooked. You know, he may have known it days and days ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about this guy, Eddie, last night, who now, in addition to, okay, we got a clue for the idol, and now we have something that's going to help you, give you an advantage in the immunity challenge, and this guy has all his money, and he doesn't even bid on it.
He's a fool.
All right, yeah, we don't need to waste
time. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's nothing to say. He's given me no indication of anything else. He's probably the nicest guy in the world. I don't know what game he's playing,
yeah,
or what he's doing out there, but he sure as hell ain't playing Survivor to win it.
Yeah. And what'd you do at the auction last season? I remember didn't you go all in on something? What was it that you bought?
I spent all my money, I think. What did I buy? I wound up like with a whole pizza,
yeah,
and a hot dog. And no, I don't even remember. Pizza, and they wanted me to trade it, and I didn't trade it. Right, you know, and I would have traded down. So I came out ahead. Then I got a whole chicken and French fries, which I shared with Carter, and they caught me, and they got really pissed off. That didn't make it up on the air. There was something else. I think I even won something else that they didn't even put on there. But I'd spent all my money, and stupidly, I thought I was in a good enough position. I really did. That I didn't need that advantage. Didn't realize that if Abby won, which amazingly she did, and to her great credit and all power to her, that I was the next one on the chopping block. Had no idea. You know, totally oblivious. Idiot.
No, it's huge, because we talked about this last night on the Know-It-Alls, was that basically every single person who's ever bought the advantage at the auction has won the immunity except for one. So you basically are buying the immunity necklace when you buy the advantage
at
the auction.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cochran played it beautifully. Mm-hmm. He had the advantage, and he knew I would have done the same thing, I'd like to think. But he used it early so that he had those two extra, in other words, he had it right at the top, because it's much easier to hold that weight when it's relatively vertical than when it's much closer to horizontal. So you know, rather than waiting till later on when he was already stressed out or straining or tired, he did it immediately, and he kept himself strong. I thought it was, well, he's so smart, you know, it was great.
Well, Brian Ferguson has a question about Cochran. Wants to know, do you think that Cochran took HGH before this season, Penner? He's winning immunities left and right. Should we test Cochran for performance-enhancing drugs?
I love that question. Yes, test him. Test him for performance-enhancing brains. The guy is just really smart. The challenges he won were, what was the other one he won? The drowning one?
Gross food.
He ate gross food. More power to him. I think because he eats such shitty food all the time.
Look, Cochran,
I think he eats gross food all the time.
If you're listening, if you have nothing to fear, then just pee in the cup. That's it. If you have nothing to hide, then just give us the urine sample and we'll leave it at that. I mean, unless you have something that you don't want us to know, I mean, I don't know any reason why he wouldn't take the urine test.
I totally agree. It'll be interesting to see if he goes for the dare. Look, Abby Marie won that challenge with a torn ACL. I mean, she's shot. She's had surgery since she came home. The advantage that she got was enormous, you know, that she beat Carter. Incredible. You know, I was toasted. My legs were shot by then anyway, but that Cochran won. Of course he wouldn't have won without that advantage. So the question is, and they shook that challenge, the auction up a lot. It was quite different from other auctions with these $20. You can just walk away with it. $20 buys you your letters from home. There wasn't just an advantage. There was also information, you know, two different things like that. The triple choice. They'd never done that before, as far as I remember. You know, so they've shaken it up, shook it up, and I don't think we should be surprised if in the next season there isn't an advantage or there's some other twist to it, because it's so clear now to any student of the game that you're going to hold on to your $500 and try to just be the first one to say $500 to win the advantage. What they may do is they may let you share money. And then we'll see if people can really, you know, dip into other people's money to win that advantage, something like that.
All right. Ethan Hensel wants to know, Penner, would you cry over a lost retainer? And I bring this up because we haven't talked about Dawn. Now, what if you lost your fedora? Would you cry over that?
No, not my fedora. My retainer, well, teeth are very, ask Freud, man, teeth are powerful. You know, anytime you dream about your teeth, it's a sex dream. Dawn, who knows? Listen, I've only met Dawn once. She's fantastic, a really fun, lovely lady, and she likes to cry, or she cries a lot. But I can't hold it against her. I cry all the time, man. There's footage of me bawling my eyes out that never made it into the last season. I don't know why. I thought for sure, you know, that they were going to have me crying a lot. So she was just devastated, you know. And why she couldn't jump in the water herself and find her teeth, I don't know.
Too distraught.
But what's that?
She was too distraught.
She was too distraught, yeah. She was too distraught. Yeah, because Brenda's like, oh, here they are. I mean, it took her, seemed to take 8 seconds for her to find the teeth. Would I cry over retainer? No. I didn't even cry when my leg was oozing pus. I cried when I got knocked out of the game and had to leave. Then I cried.
Yeah.
But, you know, poor Dawn. Come on, she's a great lady. She's doing all right.
Brad Finlayson wants to know, was Malcolm playing the same game as last time? Did you notice anything different in the game that Malcolm played in your season than the game that he played this season?
Well, no. I mean, you know, part of it was who he's up against. He had, you know, Malcolm had this sort of extraordinary run in the first season where he seemed to be in a losing situation, found an idol, found an incredible ally, that allegiance was forged in a fire of failure. How's that for alliteration?
Fantastic.
They were split up. Naturally, his team, because they had him, was going to dominate for the next set of challenges. So he was, you know, he had the numbers going into the merge. He had an immunity idol, and he had a strong ally from the other side that he knew he could count on. He was in a much, 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 much stronger position in Survivor Philippines. This time going in, he was the odd man out on the favorites tribe. He was weakened, I think, from having spent 39 days playing with people like me already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did, and maybe his head wasn't quite as deeply into the game. I know, you know, it took me a long time after I got home to, you know, get back to normal.
Yeah, it definitely
he didn't play the same game.
Takes a long time to get back to normal. I know I wasn't right for a couple of weeks after I played Survivor.
Still not right.
Still, yeah. And some would say I never was.
Yeah, I would be one of them.
Okay. Nick Fishman wants to know, Penner, if you were going to form a Three Amigo alliance, who would you want to join it?
Yul and James.
Oh, that's pretty good Three Amigos. Did you like the use of the Three Amigos movie as an alliance name?
I mean, what kind of question is that? Yes.
Do you like that movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I like those guys. The Three Amigos, you know, okay. I like the Three Caballeros better.
Yeah.
I like the Three Stooges would have been a little self-deprecating, maybe, you know. Yeah, okay. How about, you know, we're the Evil Dead trilogy. That's what I would have called myself. I don't know. The Three Amigos, sure.
I kind of feel like it was a little on the nose, and unless one of those guys is a big fan of that movie, I feel like they've got no business calling themselves.
Yeah, that's
themselves.
What I'm saying. Like, who's going to be Martin Short? Like, you want to be Steve? I'm Chevy Chase and you're Steve Martin? It's just, I don't know. Yeah. I never thought about it, and I'm never going to think about it again.
All right, fair enough. Jeff Satora wants to know, and we've been talking a lot about Malcolm overall as a player now that we've seen it in two seasons from him. Says, Penner, you've played with a lot of all-time great survivors. I mean, to name a few, you've got your Yules, you've got your Parvatis, you've got people like Ozzy, you've got Jeff Kent, even. but okay. where does Malcolm rank on the list of the great players that you've played with?
I like Malcolm very much. He plays a really appealing, young, energetic, smart game. So pretty high. I mean, you know, unlike Yul and Parvati, he did not win.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Ozzy, he was not truly the dominant physical player that I think he would have us all believe that he is. He's an incredibly fine physical player, but he is not a dominant physical player.
No.
Maybe the challenges have changed in such a way that it's impossible to be that kind of player at this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my sense and my memory is that Ozzy was truly, at least in Cook Island, an incredible dominant player physically.
So you give Ozzy the edge as an overall player to Malcolm?
Well, Malcolm has a social game that Ozzy doesn't have. But, you know, I mean, he made, what, Final Four and a jury this time.
Mm-hmm.
Is he capable of winning the game? And speaking as a guy who's never made better than seventh place myself, who doesn't, you know, I'm certainly lacking in something. So he's outplayed me. Would I give Ozzy the edge? No. Malcolm, I think, has the social edge over Ozzy.
Yeah, I think so, too. How about Amanda Kimmel? Well, I think that's an interesting comparison. Malcolm or Amanda Kimmel?
Well, I'm certainly find Amanda much more attractive.
Yes.
What's the comparison? They both got, they're really pretty people. I don't understand that comparison.
I think that they're both to some degree a triple threat, and I use that term as somebody who is strategic and social and physical, and somebody who has all three parts of the game down. And I think that's both of them are probably in the same ballpark, and I think Malcolm might be more strategic than Amanda.
Yeah. You know, Amanda, who's a lovely, lovely person, never struck me as, and maybe because she was playing a gorgeous girl's game, which is different from a gorgeous guy's game. And I don't say that to be sexist in any way. I think it's just true. You know, what she was playing on and playing with took her very far. But obviously, Parvati, you know, outplayed Amanda at every turn. I know that's true. And I think Malcolm had a real shot at winning. In fact, he was so threatening and felt to be so likable in the Philippines that they got rid of him when they had a chance to. You know, Mike and Lisa, of course, did not realize that they had screwed themselves earlier, honestly, when they got rid of me, that their chance of winning the game went out the window at that juncture. They didn't believe that, but... certainly they felt that Malcolm could beat them and did not believe that Denise was going to beat them. At least Mike felt that way.
Okay. Jeff Pittman from True Dork Times wants to know.
Go ahead.
Oh, let me take that again. Jeff Pittman from the True Dork Times wants to know, will you be reprising your role as Detective Fellows in the new season of Arrested Development?
No. Mitch Hurwitz has not asked me. I auditioned. I don't remember the name of the character because I don't watch the show, although I love the show. When I saw myself on it, I thought it was hilarious. And I got to work with Henry Winkler, who's honestly, he and Rip Taylor. Now I'm going to date myself again. Rip Taylor and Henry Winkler, the two funniest people I ever worked with, personally. Mel Brooks was pretty funny. Henry Winkler was hilariously funny. Mitch Hurwitz, who created and did Arrested Development, who asked me to do that. I had actually auditioned for the Jason Bateman role, and I auditioned for the, who's the magician? What's his name?
Now you're putting me on the spot.
That other character, I auditioned for both of them. And because Mitch Hurwitz actually thought I was a very funny guy, stupidly. But didn't cast me. And so he brought me in at some point and said, can you do a day for me? And I said, of course. So I had that really fun day on the set of Arrested Development. So if Mitch asked me to do it again, would I do it? Of course.
Okay.
Do I anticipate that happening? No.
All right. So let's see. Sandra Schmidt Brooke wants to know, does Penner now think Cochran has earned the right of being known only by his last name? Have you welcomed him into the pantheon of last name survivors?
Absolutely. Did I ever begrudge him that? I don't remember. Did I at some point say, like, who's this little pipsqueak?
I think you might have said that, but I don't know. I don't know if you said anything about him. He should not be called by his last name.
I certainly feel he has earned the right to join the pantheon of single-named idiots like myself.
Okay. Adam Selkov wants to know, what would Penner's Stealth R Us nickname be? Now, would you be annoyed
Dipshit.
If... Well, they would tell you just like you wanted to name, whatever you wanted to name the Merge tribe, you'd have to come up with the Dang Rain version of that.
Oh, God. What would I be called on Stealth R Us? Impatient. Intolerant. No, I guess I'd have to go along with it, and I'd smile just like they all did. What would I be? I'd be... they'd call me Hawkeye, I guess. The Surgeon.
The Surgeon? Whoa.
I mean, you know, because he was a surgeon. The idea of having to play the Stealth R Us game for 29 days with Philip, this is what I mean. It's like hell, Sartre said, hell is other people. And this is the hardest thing about Survivor, is that you have to smile and look a guy like Philip in the eye and say, yeah, that's a great nickname. I love it. It's so funny. And not kill him in his sleep. You have to go along with it and vote with him and be a good team player.
All right. That's Clay Parker wants to know.
Come on. That's not a real name. Clay Parker.
Says, Penner, what is your opinion on the immunity idols? Are they too easy to find now? Now, I got to say to all these where are all the tinfoil hat people that say, oh, the hidden immunity idol, you just follow where the camera is pointing, production gay tell you where to look for them. Where are those people today when the beloved production favorite Malcolm can't find a hidden immunity idol to save himself in the game?
All those tin hat people, and is that from the F. Night Shyamalan movie?
they did wear tinfoil hats in that film.
Here's what I said to, what was the name of my tribe with Jeff Kent? I don't even remember.
Calabar.
Calabar, thank you. I'm not proud of the fact that I don't remember, but I don't remember. Calabar, and now I remember. I would say to them, okay, guys, and when I would say, go look for the effing idol, that's what I'm doing, of course. I'd say, go look for the idol. And if the cameraman doesn't find you, you're not looking in the right place. Okay? Now, I didn't say, go look where the cameras are. You know what I mean? But if you're walking around in the jungle and the cameraman says, hey, Jonathan, what are you doing? And you say, I'm going to take a leak. They'd say, okay. And then if you said, I'm looking for the effing idol, they'd say, okay. And they'd follow you around for a second or two, and then they'd run away from you. Because it was boring and they knew you weren't going to find it. They'd have a couple of seconds of you looking, right, discouragedly, and then they'd go and film something more interesting because, you know, there's no reason. They don't need 18 minutes of you not finding the idol. So the conspiracy theorists, they don't have to tell you where the thing is. It's out there somewhere. There's only so many places it could be, you know? So what you do is you go out there and you say, okay, is this tree funky enough? Because there should be a clue, right? This is how my mind went. First, I said, okay, I'm just going to look in all the obvious places. And there's, 100 places that it could be. Every hole in the wall, every hole in a tree, every funny-looking tree, you look around there. Okay, so you don't find it there because it's not there. And then you say, okay, they didn't just do that. There's a clue somewhere. There's got to be, this is how I figured out where the hell the clue was the last time, it was in the rice. And I said, where could it be that everybody could find it, have an equal opportunity of finding it, blah, blah, blah. And I just went through that thought process. And luckily, it had been raining so much for those first 3 days that we couldn't even make a fire that could sustain a pot of rice. That's the only reason that I was able to get the clue, was because nobody had stuck their hand in the rice.
And just like that, that's how you found the idol.
I got to do a shout out to my friend Tracy Sweet, sent me an unbelievably kind gift.
Oh, yeah?
So thank you, Derek.
What was
it? Thank you so much, yes.
Shoes?
It was a pair of shoes that somehow she got the name Penner written into. I have no idea how she did it. She's a magician, and she's very kind, so thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Christian Zicardo says, shouldn't Sherry have flipped?
Another made-up name.
Christian wants to know, shouldn't Sherry have flipped? She would be betraying an alliance that doesn't exist. They're just carrying her along as a vote, waiting till the others are gone. So if she flipped, she'd be advancing her position by at least two, and she isn't really upsetting anybody. What do you think? Should Sherry have flipped it over?
I'm going to guess that Sherry, there's more going on to Sherry than meets the eye. Sherry has voted the company way every single time for however long now. When I say the company way, I mean, the numbers, her alliance, and I'm talking about with Cochran and Brendan, Dawn and blah, blah, blah. She hasn't broken ranks yet. So she has to feel, even though there's constantly these confessionals of her saying, I don't know, the game's in my control and all this stuff. She feels that. She feels that people are following her. She feels that she's the one having the idea, let's stick together, let's do this, let's do that, which means that she has one or two people that she really, really trusts, that she believes she can go to the end with. Who that is, I don't know, because they haven't really shown it, I don't think, right? She and Malcolm shook hands this time. That wasn't real, because she was willing to cut his throat easily. So I think, and tell me what you think, that there must be some secret, unrevealed ally out there for Sherry, for her to stay as strong as she stayed.
I mean, from what Malcolm said this morning, the person that she was the closest with was Philip. So she could really have nothing else going on right now.
Well, but that would speak to Christian's point of, well, if she's got nothing else going on right now, why doesn't she shake it up? Why didn't she shake it up when there were the three amigos with all those idols? And in fact, why not stand up the way Jeff Kent did in our season, though it didn't quite work out, and say, guys, why are you doing this? You have three idols. Don't play any of them. I'll vote with you, Eric. Let's put this together right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they ran out of time, why didn't Malcolm play some shit like that and really shake the game up? I don't know. I think he really took his eye off the ball. But as a player who has done that a number of times, I can't really fault him for it. It's exhausting out there, and it's easy to make a mistake and watch the third strike go past you when you could have hit it out of the park.
I think there was just too much bad blood between these two. I mean, I felt like the lesson from the first fans versus favorites, from the fans on your season, that they could not get their act together enough to go up against the favorites. And then once you guys swapped, once you guys merged, they were all sitting ducks. And I felt like the fans this season needed to stick together and say, hey, a fan's got to win this game. It's us against them. And there was so much infighting in the beginning of the season. I felt like they took nothing away from the original fans versus favorites. And now they still can't get their act together, these three fans.
Yeah, but you know what? There is an element of casting. And there is an element, and I can't, I'm not saying this because I know that this is true. I certainly haven't spoken to anybody about this. But the favorites have a chance to coalesce to some degree before they ever hit the beach.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot more experience. I mean, I said this and they put it in there. Like, you don't want to play. You could be a fan of the Boston Red Sox. You don't want to play against the Boston Red Sox. These folks simply were left at the starting gate. because of the amount of experience that these other players, that the favorites had, and the chance that they could have made much tighter alliances. You know, you're right. They didn't learn from that, but you can't learn it intellectually. Do you know what I mean? You have to learn that from experience. And even if there was somebody out there, say Sherry, I don't know who the real students of the game on the fan side were, to be able to say, guys, we can't make this mistake. You don't understand. They've all talked. They've all gotten together. These alliances are already made. If they were, you would say that. We have to get tight. You can't talk somebody into getting tight with you. You know what I mean? They have to feel it and trust it and earn it. And everybody makes this rookie mistake that they want to make a big move. They're playing Survivor, man, you know, or they make a rookie mistake of just not knowing that the game has already started the second you hit the beach and you better have your head in the game. And so, you know, 3 days in, half the folks are already not options to win the game. I mean, that's how it goes.
All right. Brian Edwards wants to know, who has the best story to tell this season? All right, Penner, you are the storyteller. Who has the best story to tell?
If Philip had dropped his facade and been able to play, because I don't know who Philip is, and there is a real guy in there.
He doubled down.
You may not know.
He did the opposite.
Yeah, he doubled down. If he could have, to the camera, said, of course that's not who I am, and really gotten real, do you know what I mean? I'm playing this crazy person's game. That would have been a fascinating story. I think that Cochran's emotionality last night, saying, I'm not just a game bot or something. Of course he's not, but that's his perception of himself. When he licked her finger and Jeff tried to fuck him up by saying, like, how often does that happen? And he had the perfect response, more often than you think, hilarious, right? You know, that's an interesting story, that this young ostensible nerd is in fact winning challenges and has a much broader view of the world and of his own life than we had been led to believe, that he is really coming into his own.
Yeah.
Is cool. You know, if Dawn doesn't cry, if Dawn can really, you know, bring something else to the table besides what she's shown, which is this extremely vulnerable but lovable mom type, might be an interesting story. If Eddie says something, that would be
that's not about Brenda, the babes.
if he says something. Brenda has not come across particularly well when she comes across, so I don't really see much of the story getting told there. Likewise, Eric. I mean, if Eric suddenly just stunned us with some extremely erudite analysis of the game and himself, that would be interesting. I just don't see it happening. Though he's not a stupid guy at all. You know, he's not letting his intelligence shine through. Who else is out there? I think Cochran is the best story right now. I really do.
I agree. It's a Cinderella story. I mean, you have the guy who is the Survivor nerd who had the, basically, you know, he got a lot of airtime, but for all intents and purposes, it was a somewhat disastrous decision that played out at the merge. He got picked on by his tribe the whole time. Then he feels like he's making a big move, which really blows up in his face, does not do for him what he thought does for him. And while he's beloved by some people, a lot of people think of him as a guy who is a foolish player. And now he really has had the opportunity to rewrite that story this season. And if he can go the distance, I mean, it is Cinderella.
Yeah, I agree. So you know, that's the story that I'm seeing. But the story that I would like to have seen, as I said again, if Philip could be genuine and I could really see who he is, and see what his real story is, who this nut is, what he actually did to the FBI, whether he answered phones for them or, you know, was a security guard in front of the elevator bank checking people's IDs. I have no idea. But, you know, I would, you know, is there an interesting guy there? That would have been a good story. In lieu of that, Cochran is the story of the season so far, to me.
Okay. Allison Menelin wants to know, I got married on Saturday, and I'm wondering if you and Nicole could give me and my new hubby a shout out and a ding. And also, I'll ring the bell. We love Penner, and he's one of our most favorite contestants. Do you think he will say congrats to us?
Congrats. I'm a firm believer in the institution of marriage. Been married for over 21 years, very happily, to the same woman. I wish you guys only as much fun and success as I've had in my marriage, and best of luck to you. What a fabulous thing to do, to put your faith in yourselves and the universe to provide for you. That's wonderful.
Okay, and now you have the Penner seal of approval on the marriage, so it's only good things now.
Exactly. Now it's only uphill from here.
Yeah. All right, one last question for you here tonight, Penner, who has been fantastic so far tonight. Great job. All right.
I intend to let you down here at the finish line.
All right, here. Nathan Parker wants to know, being that Rob does the best Penner impression, and again, how many people out there are doing it? That's damning with faint praise. Can we hear your best Rob impression? No.
I've been doing it for over an hour. How's it been going?
Yeah.
My best Rob impression. I don't really know. It's terrible. You know, I don't do it. That's the best I can do.
Do you do any impressions?
I don't really do impressions. I don't. I know people think that I do Alan Alda or he does me or something, which I still do not hear at all. No, Rob, you are inimitable. Can't do you.
See,
but you can try to do me. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Now you put me on the spot. All right. Do you want to give me a phrase and I'll try to mimic it?
Candace, that's bollocks and you know it.
Candace, that's bollocks and you know it.
Are we done now?
But I feel bad. Now I feel like I don't want to ever do an impression of you anymore because I feel like you don't like it. And I like you so much, I don't want to make you mad at me.
You certainly don't make me mad. I don't care. I just don't think it's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make you mad. I don't want to insult you. I guess I just did. I'm not insulting you, though. I'm just telling you my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think that sounds like me, but the fans at home just heard it. And they may be applauding right now. It's fucking spot on. It's uncanny how much you sound like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hear it, guys.
Well, I just want you to know that I try to do is mimic your voice. And as we've established here, not particularly well, but there is no mocking whatsoever that is going into.
Oh, my God. And by all means, mock away. I don't care. Listen, if mocking helped you to sound more like me, I'd encourage it.
right, because there are impressions that I do that are extremely mocking, but this is not one of them. I'm just trying to.
Well, your Kermit the Frog was extraordinary. And here's the thing, I may not just be able to hear it, and there are folks out there saying his Kermit was good but his Penner was impeccable. You know, Penner, you just don't know what you're talking about, and I'll cop to that. I may not know what I'm talking about because I can't hear myself, you know what I mean? I can only hear you, and you sound as much like me as you sound like Mount St. Dong or something.
Well, I don't know what he sounds like, so that's entirely possible.
Well, I'll say no more about that.
All right. Well, Penner, thank you so much. Are you going to be going to anything for the finale? Am I going to see you next month?
No idea.
Okay.
I haven't been invited to anything, but if I get, I mean, there'll probably be a party or something. It's in L.A., right?
Yes.
So you know, if I hear it, and guys, the folks at home who are like, oh, I wish I could go to one of those parties. No, you don't. No, you don't, really. Most of them are just wall-to-wall psychopaths. And I'm not even talking about the survivors. I'm talking about just like it's in a club, and you got to pay $16 for a martini, and it's really not that much fun.
Yeah.
But if I can get you in, I will.
Oh, wow.
I invite you all to join us at Rob's house.
Perfect. Penner, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Very generous with your time, as always. And I want to keep this going for as many seasons as you'll talk to me.
I'll talk to you anytime almost anytime.
Almost anytime.
It's always my pleasure. And folks at home who sent in your questions, I appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I very much enjoyed talking to you, Rob, as always.
Follow Jonathan Penner on Twitter. He's at Survivor Penner. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Thanks for following me. That's cool.
Yeah. So follow Jonathan Penner. He's posting pictures, always has a good quip or two. So, and he never holds anything back.
I try not to.
Yes. All right.
I try not to.
Well, Penner, thank
you. That was fun.
It was fun. Always fun to talk to you, and hopefully talk to you again soon.
Okay, pal. Talk to you then. Okay. Bye, folks.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was the one and only Jonathan Penner back here on Rob Has a Podcast. And speaking of back here on Rob Has a Podcast, here she is, the first lady of podcasting. Let's welcome in Nicole Cesternino.
Hello, everybody.
Nicole, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
You're fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Very good?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic is in the operative word. So, all right, Nicole. So, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. Now, a lot of people on the internet were very upset about Malcolm going home.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get the sense that you are particularly upset about Malcolm.
Why would you get that sense?
I just feel like a lot of people, especially a lot of the female Survivor viewers, are particularly broken up about Malcolm. But I feel like through two seasons of Survivor, you have not made a big fuss. There have been, I feel like there have probably been at least five or six male survivors in the history of doing this podcast that you have been much more talkative about than Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Oh, well, to name a few names, I feel like, from the likes of the Jay Byerses of the world.
Well, there is only one Jay Byers.
The Jonases of the world. I feel like the Matt Elrod.
Well, he's no sushi chef.
The Matt Elrods of the world. Mm-hmm. Is Malcolm too much of a badass? Is it that? Am I noticing a theme here with these guys that you like?
I like the gentler.
Is
types.
Malcolm too rough around the edges? Are you more of a To infer this, are you more Team Edward than Team Jacob?
In my younger days, I was way Team Jacob.
Because I'm much more Team Jacob.
Because you're the bad boy.
Yes, I am the bad boy of podcasting.
Yes.
Seems like maybe Malcolm too rough around the edges for you.
I do like Malcolm. He is dreamy.
You like him, but you don't seem too broken up about Malcolm going home.
Oh, well, I mean, out of all the guys that are on the show besides Cochran, Malcolm is definitely the dreamiest.
Okay. More so than Reynolds or Eddie?
Reynolds and Eddie, they're kind of dreamy, but Malcolm is dreamier.
Yeah.
Malcolm is definitely dreamier.
Do I dare ask the DMK question?
This would be hard.
Yeah. Let's, you know what, for the sake of this marriage, just give me, who are you killing?
Out of who?
The three amigos.
The three amigos?
And then I'll just fill in the blanks.
No, I want to play this game.
All right, make it quick.
Okay, I'm going to, I would have to ding Reynolds, marry Malcolm, kill Eddie.
Okay, all right. I had it backwards last week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I married Reynolds.
Oh, I didn't know you swung that way.
Well, I don't, but you have to play the game. You have to play the cards that get dealt. All right. Mm. So, Nicole, what did you think of the episode last night?
I thought it was a good episode.
Yes.
I liked it.
Level 1?
It was definitely a level 1. I definitely would have rather Malcolm have not gone home out of the amigos.
Okay. And who do you feel like is in the best position to win?
I think Cochran's looking pretty good. I don't know, Dawn maybe? But I would say, I think my money would be on Cochran.
Anything from the episode that you wanted to hit on? Anything from the auction or anything wacky going on that you want to talk about, or you want to go into the voicemail?
Brenda can't even win the auction.
Yeah, what's with Brenda?
Yeah.
My pick.
That is your pick.
Not
still a very
hanging
good
in there.
Pick. Not a very good pick. I don't think that...
Better than your pick.
Okay, yes. This time.
This time. That's
this
right.
Time.
I'm on a hot streak.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't mess with my gay.
Yeah. So Brenda, she ate the pig brains, but then she forgot that she wasn't going to eat pork. Yeah. What is going on?
Is that considered pork if it's just the brain?
Where is the Brenda I knew from Survivor Nicaragua?
Mm-hmm. The Brenda I used to know.
Yeah. Maybe that's a song for us. All right. So let's get into some of these voicemails. I got a lot of voicemail, a lot of clips to play for you guys here on a jam-packed Survivor recap podcast. Here we go. So the voicemail inbox, if you want to leave us a voicemail here on Rob Has a Podcast, we'd love to hear from you guys. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or give us a call at 323-282-RHAP. Either way, we'll get them onto the show. So let's kick it off, and let's start with a question here tonight, Nicole, about people playing back-to-back Survivors. Yeah. Ready? Here we go. Back-to-back.
Hey, Rob. Ever since Russell's second season, people have argued whether playing back-to-back is an advantage or disadvantage. On the one hand, you have the benefit of nobody seeing your game. However, you're extremely malnourished, and you haven't built relationships outside of the game, a la Don and Cochran. Do you think playing back-to-back is an advantage or disadvantage? Thanks. Bye.
All right, Nicole, back-to-back Survivors. Of course, Russell plays back-to-back on Survivor Samoa and then Heroes vs. Villains. Mm-hmm. Malcolm goes back-to-back and belly-to-belly when he plays in both Survivor Philippines and then on Survivor Karamoan. Mm-hmm. Is this an advantage or a disadvantage based on what we've seen?
I think it depends on which way the wind's blowing. Like, it worked out for Russell. It kind of worked out for Malcolm, almost. But I don't think people are thinking of this when they're playing the game.
I think it depends on what kind of player you are. I think for Malcolm, I think it was turned out to be a bit of a disadvantage for him. He didn't know anybody. He was more of an outsider. And he also, I think, you know, was, you know, wearing down physically as the game went along. He said in my exit interview with him today that he was a bit of a mess. For Russell, who was so devious, I think it played into his advantage that had people seen Russell play before, they would have been definitely much more had their antenna up.
Like Redemption Island.
Yeah. So I think that it's an advantage for you if you are a big time backstabber and you were going to do crazy stuff and, you know, lie to people.
Nutrition wasn't really a factor for Russell.
But, you know, I think that he was having a hard time too. So I think at the end of the day, if you're a straight up person and you're a good guy, then I think it's a disadvantage.
Like Malk.
And then if you are, you know, kind of an a-hole, then I would say that it is an advantage because people don't know how big of an a-hole you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's a two-sided coin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about, here's a question about Eric Reichenbach. What's your take on Eric? Right, let me play the question and then I'll ask you. Okay.
Hey, Rob. Avi calling in from Israel here. So I'm going to take the unpopular opinion here and say that I think Eric's actually playing a very good game. I'm hoping intentionally, but maybe not. I think when people are deciding between targeting threats or staying loyal, I think the balance shifts way more to targeting threats in All-Star seasons. All-Star seasons historically have placed so much emphasis on getting rid of threats, and I don't think this season's any different. The consensus seems to be that Francesca's biggest mistake was appearing too threatening. And before it was clear just how invisible Brenda's edit was, she was getting a lot of praise for trying to appear non-threatening. And I think Eric's doing the same thing. He doesn't look threatening strategically, and I do think he's throwing challenges to make himself look non-threatening physically. I think in a non-All-Star season, maybe Eric's at the bottom of the totem pole, but I don't think the totem pole metaphor really applies here. I think going forward, the other players are all just going to be more concerned with who they think are bigger threats than voting off the bottom, and Eric will make it tough. I think it's a top Curry argument, but I don't think it's an impossible one. Anyway, love you. Love the podcast.
So thank you, Avi.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Eric playing a good game? Nicole talked about this with Penner for a bit.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. I feel like he was kind of invisible for a while. We didn't really hear a lot from him. He actually was speaking up in this episode, and he seemed to... I guess know what was going on, but I don't know. I don't think he threw the challenges.
You know, Steven has used a term before on Know-It-Alls of that he talks about when people are writing Survivor fan fiction. And I don't mean that they're writing their own stories like Mario Lanza back in the day, but they are sort of just filling in the blanks of what we're not seeing with something that's far more interesting than what is probably happening, where Eric, you know, now we're not seeing anything from Eric, and now it's like there's some great story that he's telling or that's going on that we're just not seeing. that the producers have like this really interesting story of Eric's strategy, and they're like, eh, you know what? Cutting room floor. No time for this really interesting thing that Eric is doing.
So you think it's something interesting going on?
No, no. I'm saying that there is if there was something interesting going on, they would show it to us.
Right.
And because we're not seeing it, we're trying to fill in the blanks. Let me play a little something. I haven't done this before on the podcast. I looked at the secret scenes from this week, and we have a secret scene from Eric.
Uh-huh.
So we can get an insight into what Eric is thinking about in the game. And you know what Eric's talking about?
Probably not the game.
He's talking about the food auction.
Uh-huh.
And how he dodged a bullet this week.
Okay.
Okay, here's Eric talking. Here's Eric after the auction.
I am so tempted by food. I don't know if I would have been able to make the same decision Andrea made with the rice and the beans for the whole tribe. I mean, I would have, if Jeff Probst would have slid a plate of spaghetti and meatballs in front of me and said, you can have this or you can have lousy rice and beans for your whole tribe, I'm really tempted by that. I probably would have taken the spaghetti. I mean, no lie, I probably would have eaten spaghetti and everybody would have been mad at me. So, I mean, and I was one of the last people to bid on that option. I was one of the last people to bid before Andrea did buy the spaghetti or the rice and beans. So I was really close to having to make a horrible decision. I mean, you can't put food in front of me and I'm not going to take it. I feel like I starve worse than anybody out here, except maybe Eddie.
All right. So basically,
that is the dumbest thing.
Eric is going to throw away his entire game, get everybody in the tribe mad
with
at him
spaghetti.
For spaghetti
and wine.
Well, I don't even mention
and
the
wine.
And
I bet the spaghetti isn't even that good.
So I just I don't think this sounds like a mastermind at work here. He's going to, hey, Eric, do you want the spaghetti or do you want rice and beans for the tribe? Steven and I talked about this last night. It's a no-win situation. You can't say no. It's
a hard decision to make. Of course you want to eat the spaghetti, but of course you can't take it.
He's a nice guy, Eric. Uh-huh. I don't want to take anything away from Eric. He's a nice guy, very talented artist, but let's stop with that Eric is the mastermind behind the season.
Right. He's the fittest on the tribe.
It's not happening, okay? Maybe he's saying, hey, I'm going to listen to both sides. I'll wait till the last second and I'll make a decision. But outside of that, the, hey, I'm going to listen to both sides, there is no master plan here with Eric.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Okay, so we'll see. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I'm wrong all the time. And maybe this is one of those times, but I don't think it is.
Maybe not.
I feel good about this one. Okay?
So you don't think he's going to win this?
I don't think Eric is going to win.
Okay.
And I don't think Eric is going to make the final three.
If he does he get any votes?
Maybe. I mean, he could get the votes of, hey, I guess he didn't, you know, if he was with people that were really horrible people, like, it's almost like for Eric, he should, like, pick up the bros now and sort of go with them. It's like, hey, nobody likes these guys.
They'll vote for me at the end.
Well, not that they'll vote.
Well, if he's there, he's against
them. If I'm here against, like,
Ready.
Eric and Reynolds, or Eddie and Reynolds, then there's a chance maybe I'll get the votes, but I mean, I don't know what he's planning on. If he's trying to get to the end with like Dawn and you know Andrea or Cochran and Andrea, like who's going to vote for Eric there?
Yeah,
I guess the bros. I guess all the bros on the jury, maybe. I guess so.
I guess the bros would
possibly, but why?
Reynolds was mean to Cochran during the auction.
Yeah, why? What did he do?
When I guess Reynolds had to make a decision of the three covered dishes.
Yes.
And
it's like about the Monty Hall thing.
Yes. And
do you know what that is?
No.
So the Monty Hall thing, and we talked about this a little bit last night with Steven, is so on the Let's Make a Deal game show, they would offer you, hey, we've got three, you know, something behind these three doors. And, you know, it'd be like one good thing and two bad things.
Uh-huh.
So you pick, okay, I choose door number two. And so then what they do is then on Let's Make a Deal, they open up, okay, well, here's what you didn't pick, door number one, and it's bad. Okay, it was a bad thing. It's like, okay, so now do you want to keep what you have or do you want to switch to the other one? And the Monty Hall thing is you switch to the other thing.
And that one's always better.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what Cochran was trying to tell him. And he's like, oh, I don't trust you. Shut up.
Whoa. Well, but that wasn't exactly what was going on in this, because there were three things and Jeff didn't say, okay, here's one that you didn't pick. And it was, you know.
But one was better.
One was better.
And he should have listened to Cochran.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cochran was... listen to Cochran all the time.
He's, always listen to Cochran.
At this
especially
point.
Especially this season.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. How about... this is from Carlos, and he wants to talk about a Survivor strategy called Mookieing.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Hey, Rob. This is Carlos. Love the show. I was thinking about an interesting scenario that could have gone through. Do you think that Malcolm should have mookied Reynolds and threw his vote at Reynolds, causing it to be 4 votes Reynolds, 2 votes Andrea, 3 votes Malcolm, and he would have been safe? Just a scenario thrown out there. Love the show. Bye.
So thank you, Carlos. So, Nicole, are you following mookieing?
I think that definitely would have made it interesting.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. I mean, it's Malcolm's got to find out. If Malcolm finds out before tribal council, like if Sherry comes up to him before tribal and says, hey, Malk, just to let you know, I'm out. Okay? Yeah. You're a nice guy, but I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric is also like, I'm just thinking about spaghetti right now. I can't think about any other alliance stuff. Mm. You know, it's you know how I am about food. So he basically tells Malcolm that, and then Malcolm's like, F, you know,
yeah.
I'm screwed here. So what Malcolm could do is then, hey, I'm going to put my vote on Reynolds, and then it's instead of a 3-3-3 tie, it'll be 4 votes Reynolds, 3 votes Malcolm, 2 votes Andrea, and Reynolds ends up going home.
Mm-hmm.
So... not a bad idea. However, if Malcolm, as Malcolm said in his exit interview, he felt like, I can't win the game by myself. I need these bros with me. I need the numbers.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was ever a thought in Malcolm's mind.
What happened with Malcolm? He was in good with the favorites. Why did he even switch?
Well, he felt like he was low on the totem pole of the six.
Uh-huh.
Going back to the beginning of the game, there were 6 favorites that were together. It was Philip, Andrea, Cochran, Dawn, Corinne, and Malcolm.
Right.
And they were the
right.
6. But even from the beginning, it was like Andrea was like, boy, I don't trust Corinne. Her and Malcolm are off, you know, all the time, and I don't trust that. I want to get rid of Corinne.
Uh-huh.
And then once Malcolm went over with the bros, it was like, boy, I feel like I'm at the bottom of this group, and I feel like that I'm going to be the first one picked off when we get to 6, and my plan is going to be I'm going to, you know, join up with the bros, and then later that plan expanded to include Corinne and Michael into the plan, and they would have had, you know, a 6-5 advantage, but they had to get through the 1 vote. And then what happened was Corinne spoke to Dawn, and then sort of the whole thing kind of unraveled.
So had he just stuck to the original plan, he'd still be there?
If the Stealth R Us did not sort of self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know, could Philip have taken in Eric and Brenda instead of Corinne and Malcolm? It's possible as well.
Uh-huh.
But
so do you think that he made the right decision by going with the bros?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. You know, it's in fairness to Malcolm, he did a lot of things right, and there was a few things that went wrong.
Went really wrong.
For him.
Yeah.
The Corinne thing was a huge debacle, and not a lot of it was his fault directly.
Right.
I mean, Philip is talking about how we're going to split the votes, and Corinne's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to split the votes.
Yeah.
Malcolm said this morning in my interview that I wanted to drop kick her when I saw that. So that was an issue.
Uh-huh.
And then telling Dawn the plan, that was an issue. But even the week after, with the whole thing with Eddie, when Eddie tells Andrea, basically, Andrea's like, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. You know, if Eddie doesn't talk to Andrea, Andrea doesn't know that she's going home. And, you know, when Philip starts talking about the idol, Malcolm plays the idol because the votes are on him, and because
right.
The votes were going to be on Malcolm that time, and then they switch it to Michael because that was the safe vote after Andrea figures out that she was going to be the one going home. So those are two big things that could have really shaken up the game in Malcolm's favor had that worked.
Right.
But that being said, you know, you got to be able to roll with the punches and adapt, and unfortunately for Malcolm,
it didn't work out.
Yeah. Hard to say. There was no great path for Malcolm through the game, unless you want to say him and Corinne should have gone with Francesca and he could have had a better setup than to go with the Stealth R Us guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, we're super Monday morning quarterbacking.
Which is what we do best.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, here we go. Speaking of Malcolm, let's go to K-Daw from Delaware. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob, it's K-Dob from Delaware. I know people don't want to rank Malcolm too high, but I wanted to know if at least you were thinking of inducting him into the smartest players never to win club with you, Suri, and Yao. Since you kind of started the club, I feel like you got the rights to it. Like yourself, I don't think we should judge a second time too harshly. And on that note, I think if we didn't see this season, we'd be looking at him a lot differently. Love the show. Keep it up.
Okay, Malcolm, is he going into the smartest players to never win club?
So is he Rob C. Suri and Yao Man caliber?
Yeah, no fishback, no fishy. No, he's in the club.
I think he's in the club.
He's in the club. So the smartest players to never win. Here's why I'd be a little nervous.
Because
I feel like Malcolm is, you know, physical threat too. Don't like having physical threats here in my club. You know, like this is the smartest players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to feel too threatened. You know, we talked about this a lot last week. I said originally on Survivor Know-It-Alls last week that is Malcolm a top 10 player? We did the math on it. No, he's not. He did not crack the top 10, especially going
you
out.
You guys are tough critics.
What? You want him to be a top? You think
I'm
Malcolm?
I'm just saying you guys are very tough critics.
There's been, you know, over 400 people that have played this game, Nicole. We cannot put Malcolm in the top 10.
I'm not saying that I think Malcolm should be in it, but you guys are tough. You guys are tough on all of the survivors.
We're tough, but we're fair.
To some, I think.
To some?
To some.
But what are you saying? You're saying that Malcolm should be in the top 10?
No.
I think he's somewhere in the top 20.
Yeah.
I think somewhere in the top 20. And I think that we're going to do, at the end of the season, I think it's time to do the, we're going to revote on the top 20 survivors of all time.
Okay.
The last time we did it was June 2011, I believe, was the last time that we did it. The podcast has grown quite a bit. We've had a lot of great players that have come along. I think it'll be interesting to see how the list has changed over 2 years.
Yes.
And then I think then in June of 2014, then we will do the top 15 or 16 Big Brother players of all time.
My
every
God.
Other every
busy, busy,
every
busy.
2 years.
Yeah.
It's like the win, it's like the Olympics. We will do the top, we will update our top 20 rankings for the shows. So it's been 2 years. I think it's time to update the rankings this June. Okay.
Writing it down.
Yes, so I'm writing it down so I remember to update the rankings. That's right. So is Malcolm in the smartest players to never win club?
I think that's a tough club to get into.
It's tough to get into.
Yes, it's very exclusive.
Yes. Malcolm is a great player to not have won. I'll say if he fills out enough of the paperwork and goes through the hazing, then there's a shot for him.
Mm-hmm. He's in a different club.
What club is that?
He's in the Dreamboat Club.
Dreamboat Club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's what I'll say. If Malcolm wanted to be a part of the Survivor Know-It-Alls franchise, we wouldn't kick him out of bed. That we'll put it that way. Okay.
Yes. I don't think he wants to fill out your paperwork.
Well, I'm saying there's a possibility. There may be a position open.
Uh huh.
Okay.
The Dreamboat Club doesn't have paperwork.
Yes. All right. Well, the Survivor Know-It-Alls, our motto is that we are the survivors, that we know everything about Survivor except how to win the game. Mm-hmm. So that
I know you guys are so hard on people.
Well, what do you think? We should just do the show and be like, oh, yeah, that was cool. That was good, I guess.
Yes.
That was good. All right. I'm Eric now. I'm
yes.
Eric. Like, hey, spaghetti's pretty good. I mean, that's good.
I like meatballs.
I like meatballs. I mean, that's like one of my favorite
foods. Like rice and beans.
All right. Let's see. Who else's question didn't we get to? How about a question about the remaining bros from Howie?
Yes.
Hey, Rob. It's me, Jedi Howie, BB6, greatest house guest of all time. Do you think that Reynolds and Eddie have a shot at winning this game, or will someone have to tell them to get to stepping? I'll see you later, Rob. Big boy.
Whoa.
I don't think that was the real Howie.
Nicole, Jedi Howie?
I don't think it was
the real
him.
Yeah, calling in. Mm. Only 1 year too early for the Big Brother Top 20 updated list. Yes. All right. Reynolds and Eddie, what are we thinking, Nicole? Is it all over for them? Do they have a shot?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Rumors abound. This could be a double eviction this week, double elimination.
Really?
Because here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Today is so there's only two regular Wednesdays left. Why do you look very concerned?
It seems like it just stopped.
See, nothing stopped, Nicole. Okay. Everything's okay.
Sorry.
That you just worry about. You just worry about all being you.
Oh, because the sound stopped in my headphones.
There was no sound.
Oh, maybe it was just the voices in my head.
The voices in your head. Anyway, so here's the calendar as we're looking at it. So this past Wednesday was the 24th, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have another Wednesday, May 1st.
Yes.
Then we'll have another Wednesday after that, May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Survivor finale is May 12th.
And
so only
no more Wednesdays ever.
Only two. And then no more Wednesdays ever?
Yes.
Why? Is Survivor moving to a different day?
No, because it's over.
Oh, so, well, no more Wednesdays ever for this season.
Mm.
Don't get me scared. The world is ending.
Yes.
So two episodes left, 8 people left to go. So basically, if we want to get down to 5 people for the finale, that means we got to get rid of 3 people between on these next two Wednesdays.
Okay.
And I don't think that they'll do a double elimination the first Wednesday before the finale.
So is this going to be a two-person tribal council or a three?
The final three?
Three.
I mean, they haven't done a final two since Token Sheens.
Okay.
So I would think, I would rest assured that it will be a final three.
Okay.
Seems like they'd have to get rid of 4 people.
4 people.
Before
mm-hmm.
then. Or I'm sorry, they'd have to get rid of 6 people to get down to from 8
yeah,
to 2.
It doesn't seem like we have the time for that.
It doesn't seem like. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So it looks like we could be have a double of elimination at
mm-hmm.
at some point along the way, maybe this week.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So it seems like for the bros, they need to get their act together soon.
Or they need to find an idol.
Yeah. And I said, if we're going to have a double elimination, I'd rather just lose both the bros in one night. Because why drag it out?
Yes.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid, get down to the 6.
Yes. It'd okay. be a real bro loss.
Yeah. Okay, and let's see. We have one last question, and this is from Eric in Atlanta.
Hey, Rob. This is Eric from Atlanta. So on your show, you often discuss the out-of-context, inappropriate comments that come from Jeff Probst, but I think this episode redefined Survivor innuendo with the peanut butter at the auction. And I know how much you love making videos and parodies, so maybe a good parody for you to make would it take some nice footage from the Neil Adam tribe eating peanut butter and put it over the Two Girls, One Cup music, which is in the background. I'd love to forget that video, but I think it's something that once you see, you can't unsee, and we might as well have fun with it because it's very, very difficult to forget. Thanks, and I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
You're all right. A sick
all right,
person.
Nicole, should we take the montage of everybody eating the peanut butter from last night and put the music from Two Girls, One Cup over that?
No.
Have you ever watched that?
You made me watch it once.
No, no, no. I never did that. No, I did not.
Then it was someone else.
Okay, then I believe that. Uh-huh. I would not subject you to watching Two Girls, One Cup. Sorry.
Okay, well, then it was someone else.
Maybe it was your other boyfriend
maybe.
Did that.
Maybe.
It was definitely not me. Oh, boy. No, it was not me. I would not do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get into some of the, we got some comments from you guys. We got social media, a few other things that I want to play for you guys here on a Survivor recap. How you doing?
Good.
Doing good?
Good, good.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually have a game for you.
Oh, no.
All right. So
this can't be good.
I had an idea for a game this week, and we'll see. It's not the greatest game. I'll ask you a couple of these questions.
Okay.
All right. So with the help of Jessica Frey and some of the writers of Rob Has a Podcast on our staff, we have a game here that I'm calling Brocial Media. Okay. So we have these three Survivor bros, Malcolm, mm-hmm. Eddie, and Reynolds.
Okay.
And all of them are on the Twitter.
Oh, and I don't follow any of them.
And you don't follow any of them. So I have a collection of tweets.
I used to follow Malcolm.
From the various mm-hmm. bros. Mm-hmm. And so I will give you a tweet, Nicole.
Okay.
And you tell me which bro tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you play brocial media. Okay, but there's not too many that are ambiguous.
Okay.
So it's not a long game, okay?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. So let's start off with which bro tweeted at Jenna Maraska, send me a message. It won't let me send you one. I also have no idea how to. That's a very bro-y thing to tweet.
I'm gonna say the bro who tweeted was Eddie.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes, that is such an Eddie tweet.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, here we go. Which bro tweeted, if I do win the Survivor $1 million and you are one of my friends, I'll probably just give it to you? Which bro tweeted that?
Well, since Malcolm gave away an immunity idol, I'm going to have to say that's Malcolm.
Final answer?
Final answer.
Sorry, Nicole. Malcolm did not give away. Well, he did.
Yes, he did.
He did give one to Eddie, but the bro we are thinking of is Reynolds.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a good guess.
It was a good guess. Okay. All right. Which bro, you're 1 for 2 on brocial media. Which bro tweeted, beautiful day. This weather is great for my skin, .. Horrible for my wallet and liver, LOL, # happy hour. Which one of the bros tweeted that?
I'm going to go with Malcolm. He's friends with Corinne.
Okay, final answer?
Final answer.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Nicole.
I don't know my bros.
Yes.
Who was it?
I'm sorry, it was Eddie.
Yes. Well, that wasn't that douchey, so I didn't think it was Eddie.
Yes. Sorry, Nicole. Let me get...
If it was # I know I'm hot, then I would have said, oh, definitely Eddie.
Yes. Sorry, that is the wrong answer, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see.
All right, give me another.
Hold on, let me give you a sound effect.
No.
All right, so far. Yeah, not doing so hot on brocial media, Nicole.
Okay.
1 out of 3.
Okay, give me another.
Let's see. Which bro tweeted, it's one of the great regrets of my life that I don't have an Australian accent. Which bro tweeted that?
One of the greatest regrets of my life, I don't have an Australian accent. I don't know, I'm going to say Malk again.
It is Malk.
Yes,
very good job.
It sounds witty for him.
Yes, very good. All right, 2 out of 4.
He doesn't need to talk, though.
All right. Now you're overcompensating, I feel like, from before.
No, I'm just saying.
All right, which bro tweeted, sometimes I'm about to go work out, but then Aladdin comes on TV, and I get out some candy and vodka, and I do that instead. Sometimes I'm about to go work out, but then Aladdin comes on TV, and I get out some candy and some vodka, and I do that instead.
I'm going to say Reynolds.
Reynolds, final answer?
Final answer.
No, it was Malk again.
Oh, Malk.
It was Malk again. Okay. Let's see. Which one of the bros tweeted, I'm here. How do I work this thing? ? # social media problems.
I'm going to say Eddie.
Yes, that is such an Eddie
Not
tweet.
Not the smartest tool in the box.
Yes. Okay. And let's see if we have one more tweet from the bros. Let's see. How about who tweeted? My mom thinks retweet means re:tweet, like a response to a tweet. It's been cute, but I just ruined it for her. Sorry, Mom.
Could it be America's favorite mama's boy, Malk?
Yes, that gave it away.
Yes.
That gave it away.
Ladies, this is not a good sign.
All right, last one. So who tweeted, "The little boy on the at Jeff Probst show is so inspiring. His dream is to be on Survivor and is a real life one. He better be at the finale." Which bro was moved by the segment on the Jeff Probst show?
I don't think that would move Eddie. Not really the style of tweeting of Melk. So I'm going to go with Reynolds.
Reynolds, final answer?
Final answer. Oh.
Oh, Nicole. Sorry. It was Eddie.
It was Eddie. I'm very surprised.
You don't know your bros.
I don't know my bros.
Sorry. So you have lost at...
I've never lost a game on Rob's podcast.
You're slipping.
Yes.
You're slipping. So great job, Jessica Frey, compiling all of the bro tweets.
Mm-hmm. I like this game.
We like bro social media. Okay, well, it's always fun when we can come up with something on Twitter.
Yes.
All right, Nicole. So let's get to some of your comments, and we'll do some Survivor social media. Okay? So last week, and great job by Mark Full compiling all of the stuff for all the comments and all of the tweets across the social media. So here we go. Let's just start with a couple of comments from last week's podcast with Sophie. We talked about Dawn losing the retainer. I didn't get your take on that from last week. Did you have any thoughts on Dawn losing her teeth?
If I was, I would have lunged headfirst into that water.
Yeah. You thought Dawn gave up too quick?
A little bit.
What was with Dawn talking about the diarrhea?
She likes diarrhea.
Dawn is often talking about diarrhea.
Well, she has kids.
I thought it was odd during... She tweeted something yesterday, and I probably can't go back, and she tweeted something about, like, oh, this challenge, definitely I had diarrhea on my mind, right? You saw that?
She always has diarrhea on her
mind.
And
then somebody... So she said something during the episode about diarrhea, and... So I don't know. Was that a concern of Dawn while she was competing?
Bowel?
I don't know. But she seemed very concerned about diarrhea during the episode yesterday, which we've never seen a survivor actually, succumb to diarrhea during a endurance challenge. But I don't know. I guess you're holding that rope so tight.
I could see how that would make your bowels move.
I guess there could be other muscles in your body that could potentially have to be, if your hand muscles have to be so tight, maybe you have
that
other...
Loosen the sphincters?
Maybe you have other parts of your body that you're not in as much control of as you're holding onto that rope. And we saw Dawn screaming during the challenge.
Well, now it all makes sense.
We don't want to speculate why.
Yeah.
All right. So, so Omar Gonzalez says, I don't know if anyone else has mentioned this, but remember how the nonchalant Marilyn Mad Dog was in Survivor 2 when she removed her false teeth for an eating challenge? Stark contrast to Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Yeah. Yes. Mad Dog. She took out her teeth to eat gross stuff.
Well, Dawn couldn't even look at the camera when she didn't have her teeth.
No, I love Mad Dog.
Yeah. I love Dawn.
Oh, I love Dawn too, but Mad Dog was one of my favorites.
Yes,
I was very sad when she got voted off on Survivor Australia.
Yes,
but they said she was going to be the female Rudy.
Ooh,
and I love Rudy.
Yes.
All right. Peter Slavic has one. Okay, this is some food for thought, Nicole. I believe that you know best what listeners want, and it's totally up to you how to make your podcast, Rob. But lately, it seems to me that the recap podcasts are just too long.
Oh.
I know nobody's pushing me to listen to the whole thing, but at the other hand, how can I know when the good stuff is coming? Well, don't ever expect the good stuff. As I said before, it's totally up to you how to do your show, but my opinion is that it's always better to want more than want the podcast to be already over. So if you ever decide to make the show more tight, record the whole thing, but edit out the filler. I will be 100% behind you. Love your show. Have a great day.
Well, what does he consider the filler?
I don't know. I think I might go crazy to try to figure out, is this the good stuff? Is this the good stuff?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. My thought process is, and we've talked about this a lot over the course of the show, how many shows are too many shows? How long are two shows? I mean, I think I'm always going to try to appeal to whoever are the most hardcore fans of this show. I think I'm going to just try to appeal to them. I'm going to keep making the jokes to the back of the room that only a couple people get, even if it means that, you know, there's less broad appeal or mainstream appeal to this. Because I think that's how you build up a, you know, I would rather have a more dedicated audience or people who are really, really enjoying the show than people that are, you know,
casual,
more casual people. Because the casual people, they don't really care
they're
that
casual.
Much.
Casual.
Yeah.
They're probably not wearing underwear.
Probably not. Probably not. So, well, we'll see. Again, that's up to you guys. If enough of you guys are saying, hey, we want a shorter show.
Or you can do like you do and just listen to the show and fast forward.
Yeah. And I feel like if you are looking for just a shorter thing, just listen to Survivor Know-It-Alls. But then, the idea is, you know, I do like a 2-hour show here on a Thursday, and you have the whole weekend to listen to it. So maybe you listen to half an hour here, half an hour here, hit the pause button, come back to it. You don't have to listen to it all in one sitting.
Yeah, clean your house while you're listening.
Yeah, clean your house and whatever. And, you know, so that's my take on that. But, Peter, I appreciate the input, and we'll see. It's a good conversation starter. All right. So Jake Taylor was one of many people that wanted to bring something to my attention this week. Says, Rob, please do a podcast on this. Now, Nicole, are you aware of the music video Hold Up Bro?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. So Hold Up Bro is something that I was, it really got passed around a lot this week. But I know a lot of you guys aren't on Twitter and aren't following everything that gets shared within the Survivor circles. But Hold Up Bro is something that was made by a woman named Lisa Ferreira.
Lisi?
No, not Lisi.
That's a different video.
We'll talk about that later. Lisa Ferreira, she is a woman that she does recaps of Survivor using Legos.
Interesting.
And she also does a lot of things musically. Uh-huh. And she basically did a musical recreation
with
of
Legos?
The scene. Yes, with Legos.
Oh, wow.
Of the scene where Malcolm gave his idol or asked Reynolds to give him the idol. So let me play a clip of Hold Up Bro. And if you want to see the whole video, look it up on YouTube. Hold Up Bro. Okay, this is a little piece of Hold Up Bro.
Listen to me, bro. They all voted for me. Philip just told you so. Hand me that idol that
very
you're
serious.
About
yeah.
to play.
Yeah, it's very serious. But it's really well done. So props to Lisa. And maybe at some point we can get her on the podcast and ask her about where the fascination with Legos and Survivor reenactment came together. So check that out on YouTube. However, I have another video from YouTube that I was brought to my attention. Jessica Frey found it. I was one of the people that brought it to my attention. I'm not sure who found it originally. But, you know, a lot of people were upset about Malcolm going home last night. Us included. Very, very upset. But apparently the world's biggest Malcolm fan was extremely upset. And apparently she's a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And
how old is she?
I would hard for me to say. I would say somewhere between 5 and 10.
Okay.
I would say. And she has a mom who has a camera phone. And so here's Malcolm's biggest fan on last night's tragic activities.
Abby, what's the matter?
Oh, Malcolm's gonna be on Survivor.
Oh, did Malcolm just So you wanted him to win?
Yeah.
Was he your favorite?
Yeah. Oh. I can't win now.
Are you going to watch Survivor anymore?
No.
Are you so upset?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Do you like any of the other people?
No.
Something differently?
No.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other people are mean.
They are.
Cute. Yeah.
And he was the best player.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna miss him. Yeah. You wanna say goodbye to him?
Bye.
Oh.
Those other survivors are very
terrible.
Mean.
That is terrible.
They're very mean, those other survivors. They're horrible.
Abby, what's the matter?
I'm Survivor.
And this is actually Abby Maria. That's the saddest part. She's very sad because she loves bros.
Yes.
Pete Bro.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are they officially a couple?
Pete Bro and Abby Maria? Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think that's the word on the street. So that's very, very funny. I will embed that in the on the page.
Oh, that's terrible.
RobIsAWebsite.com. Yeah, is that mean to say when you have a kid that's upset about something
and post it? Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, so you want to get into Survivor?
You know we're gonna do that to our kids.
No, we won't. We won't do that. All right, so you want to get into some Survivor social media?
Of course I do. That's a stupid question.
All right, here we go. So we always follow what these survivors are saying on Twitter. And thanks again to Mark Full and all of the our team at Rob as a Podcast for following everything. So let's start off with Malcolm.
Yes.
At Malcolcm WHW.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what does WHW mean?
We don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
Let's find out.
Well, we'll ask him. What does WHW stand for?
Oh, did Malcolm just get voted off?
Let's not bring it up.
Yeah,
again.
We won't bring it up. Okay. So Malcolm has a couple of tweets last night in a row. He says, well, S word. Hashtag survivor. Then he says, to everyone who supported me this past year, I can't begin to describe how much it meant to me. From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Oh.
Then he tweeted, to the Survivor superfans, a group I've been a part of for over a decade. It wasn't always pretty and was nowhere near perfect, but I hope I did you guys proud and represented us well. And yes, I'm now going to have a drink. So there you go. That's for Malcolm. Boy, I'm telling you, I looked up on Twitter. I typed in at Malcolm WHW today because I wanted to see I saw what Malcolm is tweeting. They said, what are people tweeting at Malcolm?
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I've ever seen like people like, this sucks. Malcolm is gone. And, like, basically, so many
He's
tweets.
He's America's sweetheart.
Yeah. No, I think he has been probably the player that in the 3-some-odd years that we've been doing this podcast, I can't think of a person who's been voted out who just was...
Has caused a 10-year-old to cry?
Oh, so you wanted him to win?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Lots of people pouring out...
tears.
Sympathy for pouring out their beers for Malcolm.
Tears and beers.
Dawn tweeted last night, hashtag survivor... That chicken was the best ever. Hot, juicy, rosemary on top. Yum. Hashtag sorry, PETA.
Boy. Hashtag diarrhea.
Yeah. And Dawn, that she was just devouring that chicken like Gary Busey. I don't know if she was throwing the bones around like Gary Busey. Mm-hmm. But Dawn loves a rotisserie chicken.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. All right.
That was a good thing to win. That's full of protein.
Yeah, but then she couldn't buy a letter for $20.
Well, I don't know if it was worth $500.
Yeah. We don't have to get into auction strategy again. I think that's bad. 500!
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's spaghetti and meatballs.
We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about that.
Unless it's pig's brain.
Yeah. So Rupert tweeted, he said, I love John M. Cochran. My family and I are Team Malcolm because we know how difficult it can be to play back-to-back.
Oh.
So Rupert, Team Malcolm, and, Malcolm does have a better beard. Better beard than Cochran.
Yes.
Okay. And we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks about the Russell Malcolm rivalry, which is very particularly one-sided because I don't think I've ever seen Malcolm ever say
like Malcolm cares
anything about Russell Hance. But Russell Hance tweeted, "How many of you Malcolm fans think that was a good move? Last tribal now. Bye bye."
I saw that. Yeah.
So Russell, and then he said, please don't compare me to that who cannot even make the final three.
Yeah.
So Russell is not down with the Malcolm comparisons.
Well, why doesn't he like Russell? Malcolm, because people are comparing him?
I guess so. Yes. I guess so. So he does not care for Malcolm. Now, the Hances made some news this week on social media as well, Nicole.
Yes, I heard.
The Hances, allegedly, Russell says that they have their own show that is going to be out soon.
On what network?
That no details just yet. But he says that the new show is coming. Okay.
Well, if any family should get a reality show, it's the Hance family.
Well, they should. I mean, in a world where Honey Boo Boo is a popular show and Duck Dynasty is a popular show, then I would say, yeah, then why not?
What would be the name of the Hance reality show?
Oh, well, Hance Across America? Well, I'm sure we have a lot of good names for the Hance reality show. It really depends what it's about.
Hance in my pants.
So we will be looking. We'll certainly be the world's number one source for Hance news.
Of course.
Yes.
Where else would you go?
Not Hance NN. Okay. So
this is HNN.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this in the Brochel Media game, but Survivor Eddie tweeted, "Amigo down." I repeat, we have an amigo down. That's funny.
That was funny.
And also, Survivor Eddie also tweeted, well, that's terrible. Side note, I look like a skinny werewolf with great abs.
Of course.
Hashtag Survivor, hashtag rope burn. Mm-hmm. Gotta watch out for that rope burn. All right. Here's one from Ice Cream Scooper Eric, who is at Bloody American, and the I is a one.
Okay. Didn't he have a different Twitter name?
At one point, I think he did. Yeah. I think he used to be Monkey in the Bank, I think.
I think I like Monkey in the Bank better.
Okay, but he's the Bloody American. And he tweeted, just FYI, as soon as Malcolm WHW bought that clue to the Hidden Immunity Idol at the auction for $480, we all knew he was a gamer, so he sealed his own fate. So that's a, that's what Eric is saying. Really, that's what told you he was a gamer?
Interesting.
That he bought the clue for the Hidden Immunity Idol? Not when he basically gave away two idols
that
last week?
Away?
Yeah. All right. And at Corinne Sanity tweets, he may not have a mill, but tomorrow he gets to wake up and still be Malcolm, and that doesn't suck. Hashtag love him. All right. Mm-hmm. See, I wouldn't know what that... Because you know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be the Rob that sucks still.
And that does suck.
All right. But I need... Nicole, I want to give out an award here for the Survivor Social Media MVP.
Okay.
Basically, this is the fishy.
Okay.
My version of the fishy.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what that is. So I need you guys to help me name the Survivor Social Media... For the Survivor Twitter Tweet of the Week or... Twitter account of the week on social media.
Okay.
Okay. This is my version of the fishy, but I need a name.
Is it the Rappy?
The Rappy. I don't know. I'll leave that to you guys who are much more creative than I am at 10:30 at night after a long Survivor Thursday, and that is going to the one and only Lisi Linares for her contributions this week on social media, who has not been a big Survivor tweeter, and we haven't even been covering her.
But when she tweets,
she tweeted last night, OMG, exclamation point, again, love Cochran. She has an interesting spelling of Cochran also. She has an interesting spelling of Cochran. Sexiest Survivor ever.
Cochran really getting the ladies this year.
Yes. And then at RHAP fan engaged her about this, and she just had some other choice things that I can't even talk about on a family podcast. And so for that, Lisi, you are the first inaugural winner of the
unnamed award.
From the unnamed social media award, yeah.
Tidy
Whiteys.
Tidy Whiteys, little boy. Tidy Whiteys. Tidy Whiteys.
Again.
I bet Cochran wears Tidy Whiteys.
Well, here's the thing. As it's my understanding of the song, Tidy Whiteys, is that she's asking, she has this whole checklist of things. Have you done this? Have you done this?
She likes
Have
Tidy
you
Whitey.
Done this? No, my understanding of the song, I don't know if we've talked about this, is she has this checklist of 15 things. And until you've, been able to fill out the checklist, she rejects your application. And she says, you're a little...
You're a little boy,
you wear Tidy Whiteys, you're not ready for this jelly with Lisi. However... She seems very interested in Cochran, who I can only imagine maybe has not satisfied all of the things on the checklist. However, maybe Lisey feels like she could be
the tour guide
with the checklist.
Yes.
And said, okay, well, whatever.
Yes.
Whatever. Family podcast. So we'll see. But Lisey seems very taken with the Cochran. And I will also say that it appears that Lisey is in the Southern California area. Could be at the finale.
Ooh la la.
And so might Cochran.
Watch out, Cochran.
This could be a Survivor power couple.
Oh, so
and
could be Survivor baby coming.
Also, a word on the street is that at Survivor Cochran is a excellent guitar player.
Ooh, and he could join the band.
This could be. Yeah. This could be. Mm-hmm. So loving this. Loving this. So at Lisey. This is also made me very sad that at Lisey_Linares only 174 followers on Twitter.
I bet you now that number is going to go drastically.
I hope so.
Do you follow her?
I am one of the 174. Yes. I can't miss. I can't miss if there's going to be another Tidy Whitey's video.
Let's see how much her followers surge.
Yes, we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. At Lisey_Linares, LINARES.
Yes.
But I kind of feel like if she gets too big, then I don't want her
too big for us.
Yeah, get too big for us. Mm-hmm. So,
but we made her.
No, she made us. Mm-hmm. That's make no mistake, Nicole.
Yes.
She made us. All right. I think that is just about everything that I have here for a Survivor podcast here on a Thursday night going into Friday morning. Next head of the interns is Mike Shaheen.
Ooh, congratulations. All
right. If you've liked what you've heard here today, do us a solid and give us some good feedback on iTunes. We always appreciate that. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, that'll take you to the Rob as a Podcast show page on iTunes. And thank you guys so much to those of you guys who are using our links for Amazon.com at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. So, Nicole, I see you're yawning. You're tired.
It's past my bedtime.
Past your bedtime. Mm-hmm. Boy, my night is just getting started here at 10:30. Got to finish up this podcast, get that posted. Then I will get into watching Big Brother Canada and then blogging for the Huffington Post Canada here in the perfect storm of reality TV. And, you know, I'm toying with the idea of once this perfect storm of reality TV ends, I think maybe there could be a little bit of a podcast hiatus.
Yes.
For me.
I think that's a good idea. You need a break.
Maybe. So maybe once things slow down here, after we get through the Survivor finale, could be toying with the idea of a break before we get into Big Brother in the summer. So we'll see what's going to happen there. So. All right, I got one last thing for you guys here tonight. We've got we've listened to Hold Up Bro. We've listened to some other videos. I got one last thing. This is actually a song parody that comes in. And this is from two of our listeners named Callan and Max. And they have a parody for Dawn.
Ooh.
Called True Grit, The Ballad of Dawn Meehan.
Oh, it's a ballad.
Yes. And so I will play us out with this, and it's to the tune of some Green Day, Nicole.
Ooh.
Okay?
We love Green Day.
We love Green Day. So here is the full-length version of Callan and Max's song. I'll also post this on the show page on robhasawebsite.com, and that's going to do it for us. So we're going to have some just follow me on Twitter because at Rob Sister Nino, because going to have some other good shows coming up in the next couple days. So that's going to do it on a Survivor podcast Thursday. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
And take it away, Callan and Max.
I heard you crying loud on the day your dentures drowned.
When you voted for Francis, while watching Cochran start to blister, as you sit around feeling sorry for yourself. So don't get upset now, and dry your whining eyes, manufacturing maneuvers, baking for producers. Holly Hoffman has been thinking about Sue and me. No time to switch the vote around. Michael Snow is jury bound when True Grit came to town.
Talking about Dawn.
I felt it all before. Brandon pissing down my door. No time to switch the vote around. Salty tears are raining down the second time around.
Obnoxious guitar solo.
When True Grit came to town.
I don't know what's happening here.
Would you like some fresh bread?
I love some fresh bread.